free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
It's Friday, October the 25th, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Today we're going to take a look at Facebook, about free speech, about the public's intolerance for that, and how these technocratic elite have established themselves. What do they want to, how do they want to remake society? And we're going to go back to the early 20th century to show you the fascist roots of the technocratic elite. Yeah, we had Zbigniew Brzezinski in the 1970s talking about how the technocratic elite should rule the world. And, of course, in his book Between Two Ages, he was talking about how we should have the world in three different areas. And from those three different areas, we can consolidate it into one world government. The global elite really liked his approach. They selected him to head up a new organization, the Trilateral Commission, to implement that type of strategy. We see that being put together in a political world in terms of the European Union, in terms of the North American Union, which is what NAFTA, and unfortunately it continues, President Trump's USMCA. It does nothing to stop the sovereignty issues. And you have to understand, when you create these multilateral economic unions, that is the first initial step of towards a political union. You run that for a while, and then you say, well, you know, we just can't make this work unless we have more political control centralized, which is what we've already heard from the European Union. It didn't take them very long to go there. And then they start telling you everything that you can do in your life. They start destroying national sovereignty. And so, you know, Brzezinski wanted to establish that, and so did the global elite. But this goes back decades before that. And now we're seeing it revived and made practical, just like all of these efforts by the CIA, whether it's using drugs or whether it's using the occult, you know, psychics, and then psychologists and so forth. They've used all those different techniques. Now they have some new techniques in terms of what we see coming out from Facebook and from Elon Musk. But we're going to take a look also at the hearings, what came out of the hearings, the attacks on free speech. You know, are you going to shut down, says a Republican? Are you going to shut down these people talking about vaccines? That was a Republican congressman from Florida in these hearings. You have AOC. Why aren't you censoring these politicians like President Trump? When are you going to do that? And quite frankly, her generation, the millennials, 66% of them, more than 60%. It's about the same number of people who support legalizing marijuana. These are two ongoing trends here. 66% of people want to legalize marijuana. I don't advocate the use of marijuana. I'm against the drug war because it has destroyed our Bill of Rights and our Constitution completely. It is not the right approach to destroy this the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, by making law enforcement the way to keep people from destroying their lives with drugs. But, you know, as Brave New World pointed out, just take your Soma. Because a gram is better than a dam. And so, you know, if you take your Soma, you don't really care about the Constitution or the First Amendment, because more than 60% of Americans want to restrict free speech in some ways. Matter of fact, they want to get rid of the free press as well. They think just like AOC. You think she's scary? She is the face of the future, quite frankly. She's the face of people who have been indoctrinated in the colleges that they want to make free to everybody.
Welcome back to NPR here today. I'm Wilbur Snakely, and I just want you to know that when you hear the intro to the show and it's the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, don't look into the 1920s and 30s documents where they said that to be free from war, we must end the family and masculinity, and that we must put chemicals in the food and water to make the men subservient and the women infertile. A real terrorist, Alex Jones, has been on air with that gravelly, evil male voice telling you to look into how iodine's good for your body and essential, and how fluoride's bad. Listen, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? There's no medical journals. There's no facts. You need fluoride. Just drink extra fluoride, and then you don't have to think anymore, and just go to sleep when I talk to you real soft like this.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Friday, October the 25th, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Later today, we are going to be joined by Richard Proctor, who is going to talk, give us his opinion about this news item that I talked about yesterday. You know, can the president, said his lawyer in Manhattan, as you have Cyrus Vance's son, Cyrus Vance Jr., trying to take down President Trump, trying to get his tax returns, and President Trump's lawyer says, you can't, you don't have any authority over the president. If you want to do that, impeach him first, remove him from office, then you can do whatever you want. And they said, well, how far does this go? And he said, well, you know, the president, can't we arrest the president if he shoots somebody in the middle of the street? And his lawyer said, no, you can't. I think he's right. I think his lawyer's right. I think the former acting attorney general who went on Laura Ingraham's show, who said you can't impeach a president for abuse of power, I think he's wrong. I think you can impeach a president for anything. I think you can impeach him for jaywalking. And then after he's out of office, you can haul him down to traffic court in Manhattan and do whatever you want to him. Because that's what we're seeing now in Washington, D.C., but no, you can't. We're going to talk to Richard Proctor, what he thinks about that. Also, Robert Barnes is going to be in studio with us as well. So it's going to be an interesting show. We have an update on the Save James case, James Younger and his father, Jeffrey. There's now an update on this. We'll be giving that to you. And folks, you know, when we look at what is happening with the technocratic elite and they are best represented, of course, by the people in Silicon Valley, the people who run social media, Google, Elon Musk, all these different people. Where do these people come from? I think it's about time for us to go a little bit deeper into their background. Take a look at the grandfather of Elon Musk, a guy who was kind of like the hero of H.G. Wells' book, The Shape of Things to Come. Things to Come, the movie that you may have seen, and if you have seen it, I never really wanted to read the book because I knew how the elite of the early 20th century, how elitist they were, how they knew better than everybody else. These are the people who pushed eugenics and genocide, and they believed that because they control the levers of technology, that they were superior to the rest of humanity, and they ought to be telling us what to do. And that's basically, if you remember that movie, Raymond Massey, in the role of John Cabal. Cabal. They don't even, that's pretty obvious what H.G. Wells is calling for, right? And his airmen. And they're going to impose with their technological superiority, they're going to impose their will on everybody else because, you know, they know better. Enough with these free markets and economics. Enough with democracy and republics and constitutions. We don't want any of that old-fashioned stuff. The hoi polloi out there, the general public, they don't know anything, those riffraff. We will tell them what to do. And quite frankly, folks, this is the fascist origins of the people in Silicon Valley right now. George Gilder, when he talks about it, he calls the people in Silicon Valley neo-Marxists, and he's exactly right. So I'm going to get into all of that with you, but I'm going to tell you that this is not just about eugenics and genocide. This is about, of course, destroying the family as well. They don't want to just destroy nation states. It's also important to destroy the family. I would say even more important to destroy the family. A strong nation is made up of strong families. And as I was talking about Save James, and I said, well, you know, the goal of these people, when you put this in the context of the BBC bragging about how within the next 5 years easily, they're going to be able to have artificial wombs, and they're going to be able to raise babies in hatcheries, just like Aldous Huxley wanted. And of course, his brother Julian Huxley was the one who coined the term transhumanism and was a rabid eugenicist and you know, working with the United Nations to accomplish that. So I've got a lot of stuff to lay on you today, but I'll just go back and remind you again yesterday what I had to say. When you look at this ectogenesis, is what they call the baby hatcheries that they're setting up, the artificial wombs. When you look at that, you understand that is the final link in destroying the family. Because the family is about love and sex and reproduction and love and sex and that cycle. But those three things there, right? And if you break that connection between all three of those, you have deconstructed the family. It is both the means to destroy, the separation of that is the means to the end of destruction of the family. And so maybe instead of just talking about genocide, maybe we ought to talk about the death of the family. Is there a word for that? Familycide or something? that's really what we're talking about here. And that is every bit as important to them. I would say even more important to them than destroying national sovereignty. And that is destroying the family. So we're going to take a look at all of that stuff today. And then, as I said, we've got a couple of guests who are going to come in and talk about legal constitutional issues and free speech issues. Because as we've got a lot of people who are now supporting legalizing marijuana, is this because they don't like how the war on drugs has completely destroyed the Bill of Rights, completely destroyed due process, you know, civil asset forfeiture? They can take your property, any kind of property, cash, cars, planes, houses, homes, anything. They don't even have to charge you with a crime, let alone find you guilty. They just take your stuff. That's civil asset forfeiture. They have mandatory minimums. And they have filled up our prisons with more people than any society has ever put in prison. Any society. Even China, that has a much bigger population. We have not only a higher percentage of people in prison, but we have more in terms of absolute numbers. It has corrupted law enforcement. Part of that is the civil asset forfeiture. It has corrupted our system of justice, and it has destroyed our individual liberties in the Constitution. They're moving towards this. They're moving towards removing at least the marijuana part of it. This is all a UN agenda. As people care about that, it isn't because they care about the principles of individual liberty. It isn't because they care about the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. And we can see that pretty clearly because the majority of Americans want the First Amendment destroyed. See, these people just want to get high. That's all they care about, quite frankly. Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who say, look, this can be very useful as medicine, and I've advocated for that as well. And we shouldn't be telling people what to do. The government, as many law enforcement officers have said, you know, every problem can't be solved with a hammer. And so don't use law enforcement to try to solve every problem. Drug addiction and drug use is a problem. It is a spiritual problem. If you don't believe in God, you can at least see that it is a medical and psychological issue. But at its heart, it's a spiritual problem. That's not the job of law enforcement. And when you use the wrong tool, you destroy things like the Constitution, like the Justice Department, like law enforcement, like the Bill of Rights. But people don't care about that because they want the Bill of Rights to be ripped to shreds. More than 60% of Americans agree on restricting speech in some way. A slim majority, 51%, want to see the First Amendment rewritten to, quote, reflect the cultural norms of today. This is a poll that was conducted by the Campaign for Free Speech. They said, the findings are extraordinary. They were appalled. Our free speech rights and our free press rights have evolved well over 200 years, and people now seem to be rethinking them. Well, they're wrong about that. I would trace free speech and a free press and all that stuff. I would trace that back to the Reformation, beginning of, you know, the free press came with the printing press and the idea that you're going to be able to speak truth to power, a combined church and state at the time. You know, it was back in 1517, actually October the 31st, 1517, beginning of the Reformation, as Martin Luther nailed his theses to the door of the cathedral. That was a defiant beginning for free speech.
Again, I'm not talking down to the InfoWars audience, but I've been banging my head against a wall for a long time on this, and I'm talking about fluoride, and I'm talking about iodine. Now, if you have a boat, a motorboat, let's say an old Glastron boat, and you want to take it on the lake, you've got to have a lake to put it in. If you're a human being, you've got to have oxygen to live. Okay, it's the same thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bad halogen is fluoride. That's why in every Western nation, they put it in the water. They're going to teach us Christians to lay down and die. The Chi-Coms don't put it in the water. They'd execute you if you did that. They put iodine in the water because it's the good halogen and increases fertility and lifespan and intelligence and everything else. So again, learn about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com. We have all the documents and articles linked. And then get good iodine for yourself because the globalists are fighting to make sure you don't. Again, get iodine at InfoWarsStore.com.
My name is Bethlehem. I work for my father, Lucifer. And he doesn't like the fact that God gave you all families and children. And so we want to tell you something right now, Christian countries. We took control of you over 100 years ago. We've been spiking your water with fluoride to lower your fertility and to hurt you. It's worked so well, but now because of liability and because of people warning inside the government what's happening, the Journal of American Medical Association and others are admitting what we've done. And it makes me so angry. So whatever you do, just stay in that haze and drink fluoride and give it to your children. And don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and learn about the iodine conspiracy and get 60% off on X2 and X3 together with BioTrue Selenium from the mustard seed. Submit to us. InfoWarsStore.com.
It is now an admitted fact. Fluoride added to the water has caused tens of millions of Americans to be brain damaged and to have infertility and low IQs. And it doesn't matter if the Journal of American Medical Association comes out and says it's terrible. Still, the cities put it in the water because the ruling globalists want you and your family poisoned and stupid. And they sure don't want you to know about the good halogen, iodine, that absolutely increases IQ and fertility and makes life so wonderful and opens up your consciousness, your mind, everything. Thank God. Thank God. I discovered this 8 years ago. Of course, the enemy knows all about it, and they hope you don't discover it. They hope you just roll over and die. So whatever you do, don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get 60% off right now on the Wake Up the World to the Iodine Conspiracy Combo. 60% off with X2 and X3 together with your bottle of BioTrue Selenium. Whatever you do, don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. Just give up, America. Give up, Christians. Drink your fluoride and die. Give in to Satan. Give in. Here are the facts. Iodine raises IQ and across the board makes you more healthy in thousands of top studies, including the American Medical Journal. Every type of fluoride lowers IQ, massively increases cancer, and destroys fertility. That's the facts. Learn about the iodine conspiracy. And then once you've learned about it, protect yourself and your family. The reason I'm so hot on this is the globalists put the fluoride in the water while making sure we don't get the iodine. In China, they put the iodine in the water and ban the fluoride. because they've already got their people under their control. The globalists are targeting us here. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com, experience iodine and BioTruth Selenium that goes with it together. And then once you see the great results, warn others. This is the Achilles heel of the globalist. It's a win-win situation. The only way you lose is not taking action. Take action now.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
The majority of Americans no longer want the First Amendment. They don't want you speaking freely. They don't want the free press. Again, nearly more than 60% of Americans agree on it. A slim majority, 51%, want to see the First Amendment rewritten. Let's get rid of it. You know, Second Amendment's got to go. First Amendment's got to go. Nearly 60% of millennials, those are people aged 21 through 38, agree that the Constitution, quote, goes too far in allowing hate speech. Many would like to see a crackdown as well on the free press. Nearly 60% agreed that, quote, government, this is a poll, and in, they agreed with this statement, government should be able to take action against newspapers and TV stations that publish content that is biased, inflammatory, or false. Well, who decides that? Who decides if it's biased? Who decides if it's false? Who decides if it's inflammatory? Oh, somebody's feelings were hurt. It's a microaggression or maybe even a macroaggression. This is directly coming from the government educational system, and this is why the Democrats are so adamant that everybody needs to go to college, they need to make it free, because it has been such an effective propaganda machine. Unbelievable how effective the propaganda has been. The poll was released just 2 days after two University of Connecticut students. Oh, surprise, surprise. This is where this is, you know, forefront, where this has all been happening. All this language of microaggressions and intersectionality, the political correctness, the extreme racism and sexism that you see there. Just 2 days after two University of Connecticut students were arrested for allegedly saying racial slurs in a viral video, the 21-year-old suspects were allegedly playing a game in which they yelled vulgar words, according to the police. They said such incidents and the rise of social media may be behind the increased willingness of Americans to curb speech rights. There you go. They don't like hate speech. And, you know, hate speech is protected by the First Amendment. So they hate the First Amendment because they're intolerant. And this is, as I pointed out, it was 502 years ago, on October the 31st, that really I would say the fight for the First Amendment began. Free speech, as well as a free exercise of religion, as Martin Luther began the Reformation. Another reason why we do not want to have an established state church. It's not the separation of church and state. It's to say that you're not going to have some particular church or religion that is going to be the official religion, the merging of church and state. And, of course, that was what they were concerned about with the First Amendment. They did not want that to happen in Washington. You had all these different people who had been persecuted because of their exercise of free speech or their exercise of their religion throughout Europe with the back and forth wars. And as you would have one local jurisdiction would be siding with the Catholics, another with the Reformed people, then you would have this conflict. But the conflict was really because these churches were essentially an arm of the state. And you're changing allegiances in terms of what you believed about Christianity was perceived by them as a change of allegiance to their political domination. And so that was the essence of that that kind of war that was happening there. So all these people came to the United States, and you had all these different states that were set up. And each one of them at the beginning established a state church. So you had, you know, Rhode Island was Baptist, and, you know, these New England states were Congregationalist. Maryland was Catholic, Roman Catholic, and so forth. And so you had all these different ones, and they said, well, if we're going to create a federal government, the problem is going to be which one of these Christian denominations is going to be ruling over the others. We don't want to have that happen, so we're not going to let that happen at the federal level. But it continued. It continued until the 1840s in Massachusetts and other states, where they still had established state churches. That meant that in some cases you were required to attend that church, in other cases you were required to give them money. Sometimes it was both. That's really what establishment means. Having to be a member of it, having to attend it, having to give it money. And then the power that it can tell other people that they can't practice their religion. Now today, we do have an established state religion. It is secular humanism. And it has been established by the federal government in violation of the First Amendment. And the secular humanists tell everybody of every Christian denomination, you cannot freely exercise your religion in the public square. And they're increasingly doing that. That's the intolerance that we're getting. And so when we look at this and the roots of this, of course, as they said, well, it's social media that's making this worse. I would say, I would agree with this one statement that came from a former director at Cambridge Analytica, saying that Facebook is actually the biggest threat to our democracy, not just foreign actors, right? Remember Cambridge Analytica, the big scandal there, completely shut down that political consulting firm. Why? Because it was revealed that President Trump had actually gotten a political consulting firm to find out, you know, how he could reach people who were possible voters for him. Can't have that happen, right? I mean, it did happen with Barack Obama. That wasn't a problem. So it's not a problem when Democrats do that. As a matter of fact, when all this happened with Cambridge Analytica, we played the reports time and again of when the campaign wing of the Obama campaign that did exactly the same thing. And they were bragging about how smart they were to go to Facebook and to be able to use their demographic filters and so forth to reach potential voters and to get out the vote and so forth. But when Trump did it, it was a scandal. The same thing. But she went on to say, I say that specifically because it was just 2 weeks ago that Mark Zuckerberg decided that Facebook is not going to censor politicians that are spreading disinformation, who are weaponizing racial hatred, even using voter suppression tactics. This person who said all this was Brittany Kaiser, talking on CNBC. She said her main complaint then is that Facebook refuses to censor politicians. Yeah, we should censor politicians. Political speech needs to be censored. It is the most protected speech, quite frankly. You know, politics and religion, that's what everybody doesn't like you talking about, and that's what they want to shut down. So she wants more of it, and she's not alone. Now, we had in these hearings about Facebook, we had Andy Barr, a Republican, pushing Mark Zuckerberg, and we're going to play that for you when we come back, wanting to know if Zuckerberg is going to protect free speech on Facebook. And then on the other side, you had AOC, Occasional Cortex, blasting Zuckerberg because he won't take down what she thinks are lies. See, she's going to determine what is hateful, what is triggering, what is racist. Of course, everything is racist that she doesn't like. And if she determines that it's lies, she's going to demand that Zuckerberg take it down. But that censorship is not just along partisan lines. We've got a Republican who is telling Zuckerberg, you need to censor information about vaccines that I don't like. You tell people not to take vaccines or look at the inserts. Oh, you shut
that down. Now, what I'm about to say is incredibly obvious, and I'm not talking down to any of the viewers or any of the listeners. I'm just stating the facts. I own a chainsaw. I've had it since I was in college. And it's a great, good old chainsaw, and I've used it probably 500 times. But a few times I've forgotten to oil it, and it seizes up really quick, and I feel like an idiot for not oiling it. Now, imagine if somebody told me to put let's say, super glue in the oil container on it, it would seize up forever. But only an evil person would do that. Well, fluoride's like putting super glue in a chainsaw. It's going to make it seize up. And that's why they put it in the water. And they admit they're doing it to hurt you and your family. Yes, they're really evil. Iodine is like putting oil in the chainsaw to help with the gasoline and lubrication. It's that simple. I know you understand this, but let's warn other people before it's too late. It's part of the iodine conspiracy. Find out more at InfoWarsStore.com and take action against the globalist.
Carbon's everywhere on this planet. It's almost like we're carbon-based life forms.
Please listen to this information because it can save your life and it can save the life of others. There couldn't be more critical information for your physical body. God's more important when it comes to your soul, but this is most important when it comes to your body. If people didn't know that you put motor oil in a car's oil container to lube the engine, they might be able to be conned and think you put salt water in it, but it would seize up the engine pretty much instantly. Well, if they put fluoride in the human body, it causes cancer, dumbs us down, and destroys fertility. If you put the good halogen in the body, high-quality iodine, it's like putting good, high-quality motor oil in the car that's supposed to run on it. It's that simple. Find out about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com and find out why the globalists hope that you do not research this information. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, research iodine deficiency. It's the key to everything. And then go and take advantage of the 60% off combo with our two different types of high-quality iodine and Biotriselinium at InfoWarsStore.com today.
InfoWars presents Alex Jones.
In August of 2019, JAMA, or the Journal of the American Medical Association, the most prestigious, came out and said, oh my gosh, just a little bit of fluoride in the water causes lowered IQs, massive infertility, and a lot of babies die in the womb, and it causes cancer. That was just one of thousands of studies admitting this. You know, it's illegal to have even one part per billion in the water in places like California unless it's part of adding fluoride. And then they have a waiver and can add thousands of deadly chemicals to your water because the liberals love you and they want to sexualize your children. So whatever you do, drink lots of fluoride and don't get the thing that counters it, iodine, at InfoWarsStore.com. Drink fluoride and die. Drink fluoride, dirty Americans, and roll over. Do not visit InfoWarsStore.com and get high-quality iodine to counter it. No, roll over and die, dirty Americans.
InfoWars.com/show.
Hello, today on All Things Considered, I'm Wilbur Snakily, here to tell you all that there's been a lot of conspiracy theories out there that fluoride in your water is hurting you. Now, sure, the Journal of American Medical Association admits that it's causing some cancer and massive brain damage and infertility, but after all, isn't there too many people? That's right. Drink the fluoride. Don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get the good halogen, I mean the bad halogen, iodine. Don't give it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Just drink the fluoride and plunge into subservience to us. We don't want to compete with you. Just drink the fluoride. Don't learn about how deadly it is, and whatever you do, don't support Alex Jones. Remember, I'm speaking with a soft voice, so I'm a liberal. Oh, and let NAMBLA have access to your children, huh?
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. This is The David Knight Show.
Yeah, folks, political correctness has always been a beard just to establish their control over what you can say and do. A good example of this is back in North Carolina, Winston-Salem. They have now removed the name of the Dixie Classic, a fall festival there. It is no longer, you can't use the term Dixie in North Carolina. And when you look at this situation with Planned Parenthood, of course, the undercover videos by the Center for Medical Progress. The state of California is not concerned, they said. The judge has made it very, very clear that he is not concerned, that it is irrelevant whether plaintiffs profited from the sale of fetal tissue or otherwise violated the law in securing tissue for those programs. That's not relevant. If you're killing babies in order to profit from it, to sell body parts, I don't care, said the judge. All I care about is, did you get their permission to talk to them on tape? These are the priorities that they have. And, of course, the judge there is gagging all of that information. It's not just President Trump. As a matter of fact, coming after President Trump is one of the final stages of loss of due process. And it's quite a bit worse for those of us who aren't president, and it has been for quite some time. No due process to take your kids, no due process to take your property under the war on drugs, or for CPS to take your children. And, of course, now they want to take your speech, and they are taking your speech, and Zuckerberg and these other technocratic elite have been the leaders in it, in the exchanges going back and forth. We had one congressman, Bill Posey from Florida, asking Zuckerberg why he is censoring information about vaccines. If it's anything negative about vaccines, we're not going to allow that to happen. And so Zuckerberg said, we have a scientific consensus, just like they do about global warming. And they do their best to censor information that might be harmful to people. So they're going to be censoring any information that questions the science, questions any science that has to do with health. I mean, look at how things are constantly changing in the quote-unquote settled science of health and medicine. You know, eggs are bad, now eggs are good, now they're bad. We've seen that with all these different things. It was global cooling, then it was global warming, then it's climate change and so forth. Oh, yeah. Science is constantly changing. And the essence of science is skepticism and questioning what the conventional wisdom is. But you're not going to be allowed to do that. And Facebook is going to be the mechanism to do that. And so Congressman Bill Posey said, why are you censoring this? And Zuckerberg says, there are these anti-vax conspiracy theories out there. And we've got to shut them down because we have a scientific consensus. Well, scientific consensus have always been wrong. But let's take a look specifically at just political speech and how this breaks down between Republicans and Democrats and the questioning of Zuckerberg, who has now become the sole owner of the digital public square for the most part. I mean, you've got Twitter, you've got YouTube out there. They also have their digital public square models, and they have reserved for themselves the right to control that because they say it's their private property. Sorry. You don't have any rights. They've just decided that, It's kind of like the Kelo decision where the government came in and said, this corporation over here, we can make more taxes if they build a bigger building, so we're just going to take your home and raise it to the ground. And, or your business or whatever. You've got a smaller business than this guy. He'll generate more tax revenue. So we're going to take your property rights. My free speech and my God-given rights, whether it's my free speech or my ability to defend myself or my right to life, those belong to me. And they're not going to be taken by Planned Parenthood or Mark Zuckerberg or any of these other people because they can make more money by taking away and stealing my God-given rights. So Andy Barr, a Republican, asked Mark Zuckerberg whether or not he's going to protect free speech. Video clip number 6.
Mr. Zuckerberg, I do want to commend you on statements you made recently at Georgetown University about free speech and the First Amendment. I was particularly happy to hear you say that you will, quote, continue to stand for free expression, understanding its messiness, but believing that the long journey towards greater progress requires confronting ideas that challenge us. I'm reminded of what John Stuart Mill wrote in On Liberty, and I would commend it to my colleagues and chair and my friend, the chairwoman. Mr. Mill wrote that, quote, if all mankind minus one were of one opinion and only one person of the contrary opinion, mankind would be no more justified in silencing that one person than he, if he had the power, would be justified in silencing mankind. And this sentiment is important and relevant to Facebook, especially in today's age of political correctness, accusations of offensive speech,
except Zuckerberg can silence all of mankind,
and the dramatic polarization of our political discourse. I do find it highly troubling that politicians are trying to bully you to be a fact checker and to be the speech police, especially in politics, at the core of the First Amendment. And so along those lines, I want to ask you a question about censorship and whatever fact-checking board you're delegating these responsibilities to. Will you commit that Facebook will not censor any political ad placed on your platform or in support of President Donald Trump?
Congressman, my commitment on this is that, or the principle at least here, is that we believe that people should be able to see for themselves what politicians are saying. That doesn't just go for Trump. That goes for any of the candidates, for any of our national offices. People need to be able to see for themselves and be able to make judgments on what the candidates are saying and their character.
Well, I applaud you for that. And I don't want you to be bullied by politicians to relinquish our treasured free speech under the First Amendment. Protect it. And don't be bullied by politicians who want to censor politically incorrect speech. I yield back.
Okay, and so what you see, and you're going to see here, is immediately you're going to have AOC bullying him to censor people. In that regard, AOC on the First Amendment is just like AOC and the millennials on the Second Amendment. They are begging for people to take away their freedom to defend themselves. They're begging for people to take away their freedom of speech, because that's what AOC is begging for. All right, you just heard Andy Barr there talking about, well, you're going to make sure that politicians get freedom of speech. Here's the deal, folks. I want politicians to have freedom of speech, but I want journalists to have freedom of speech. I want you as a citizen to have freedom of speech. I don't think freedom of speech is something that should only belong to politicians. It should certainly belong to politicians, but AOC doesn't want it to belong to politicians that she disagrees with. She thinks that she's going to be the ruler and she's going to rule everybody's free speech. And, the people who join with AOC, who say they want to get rid of the First Amendment, are just like these people who say, I don't want to be able to protect myself. I don't want to be able to speak and have an opinion or be able to see differing opinions. Here's AOC, video 6.
Well, could I pay to target predominantly black zip codes and advertise them the incorrect election date?
No, Congresswoman, you couldn't. We have, even for these policies around the newsworthiness of content that politicians say and the general principle that I believe that...
Well, that's basically false advertising and fraud. That's not free speech.
We have, if anyone, including a politician, is saying things that can cause, that is calling for violence or could risk imminent physical harm or voter or census suppression, mm-hmm. when we roll out the census suppression policy, we will take that content down.
So you will, there is some threshold where you will fact check political advertisements. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, Congresswoman, yes, and for specific things like that, where there's imminent risk of harm.
Could I run ads targeting Republicans in primaries saying that they voted for the Green New Deal?
Sorry, can you repeat that?
We got Republicans who voted for the Green New Deal. I'm really sorry. We'll be right back. We got to take a quick break. Stay with us.
Welcome back to NPR here today. I'm Wilbur Snakely, and I just want you to know that when you hear the intro to the show and it's the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, don't look into the 1920s and 30s documents where they said that to be free from war, we must end the family and masculinity, and that we must put chemicals in the food and water to make the men subservient and the women infertile. A real terrorist, Alex Jones, has been on air with that gravelly, evil male voice telling you to look into how iodine's good for your body and essential and how fluoride's bad. Listen, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? There's no medical journals. There's no facts. You need fluoride. Just drink extra fluoride and then you don't have to think anymore and just go to sleep when I talk to you real soft like this.
Again, I'm not talking down to the InfoWars audience, but I've been banging my head against a wall for a long time on this, and I'm talking about fluoride, and I'm talking about iodine. Now, if you have a boat, a motorboat, let's say an old Glastron boat, and you want to take it on the lake, you've got to have a lake to put it in. If you're a human being, you've got to have oxygen to live. Okay, it's the same thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bad halogen is fluoride. That's why in every Western nation, they put it in the water. They're going to teach us Christians to lay down and die. The Chi-Coms don't put it in the water. They'd execute you if you did that. They put iodine in the water because it's the good halogen and increases fertility and lifespan and intelligence and everything else. So again, learn about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com. We have all the documents and articles linked. And then get good iodine for yourself because the globalists are fighting to make sure you don't. Again, get iodine at InfoWarsStore.com. It is now an admitted fact. Fluoride added to the water has caused tens of millions of Americans to be brain damaged and to have infertility and low IQs. And it doesn't matter if the Journal of American Medical Association comes out and says it's terrible. Still, the cities put it in the water because the ruling globalists want you and your family poisoned and stupid. And they sure don't want you to know about the good halogen, iodine, that absolutely increases IQ and fertility and makes life so wonderful and opens up your consciousness, your mind, everything. Thank God. Thank God. I discovered this 8 years ago. Of course, the enemy knows all about it, and they hope you don't discover it. They hope you just roll over and die. So whatever you do, don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get 60% off right now on the Wake Up the World to the Iodine Conspiracy Combo. 60% off with X2 and X3 together with your bottle of BioTrue Selenium. Whatever you do, don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. Just give up, America. Give up, Christians. Drink your fluoride and die. Give in to Satan. Give in.
Hello here. My name is Baphomet. I work for my father, Lucifer. And he doesn't like the fact that God gave you all families and children. And so we want to tell you something right now, Christian countries. We took control of you over 100 years ago. We've been spiking your water with fluoride to lower your fertility and to hurt you. And it's worked so well, but now because of liability and because of people warning inside the government what's happening, the Journal of American Medical Association and others are admitting what we've done. And it makes me so angry. So whatever you do, just stay in that haze and drink fluoride and give it to your children. And don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and learn about the iodine conspiracy and get 60% off on X2 and X3 together with BioTrue Selenium from the mustard seed. Submit to us. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
It's amazing to me to see how effectively they can propagandize people if they can monopolize information. It is an information war. And so you got people who are begging to have their freedoms taken away in every regard. All they have to do is have a concerted effort. You don't want to be able to defend yourself and your family. Oh, yes, let's destroy all the guns. And now they're doing the same thing to free speech and the free press. And the majority of people say, yeah, we got to get rid of the First Amendment. I hate that. I hate having freedoms. Take that away from me, please. Keep me safe. Nobody values liberty. They only value safety and security. And that is a fool's bargain. It is a Faustian bargain from the devil. Give me your liberty and I promise I'll make you safe. Yeah. Well, to that degree, you are a slave. To the degree that you give up your liberty, you become a slave. Slaves are never safe. Slaves are never prosperous. You're not going to, you're just, but people are falling for that. And that was always on the table. That is always on the table. You really don't want to risk your life and your property and your sacred reputation, do you? Just go along with the king. No, the founders of this country didn't take that bargain. And they warned us that the people who do don't deserve liberty. And history has shown us that you don't get it. They don't deserve safety, I should say. History has shown that you don't get it either. And so when we talk about this, it's not just AOC and her generation who want to get rid of the First Amendment. It's a lot of people who want to get rid of the Second Amendment. You've got Dick's CEO. Remember the Dick's at that sporting goods show? store? They've got the CEO, Ed Stack, who said, well, I'm not going to sell rifles anymore. Because he was so vocal about it, he even hired lobbyists in Washington. People got upset about it, so they quit buying anything from Dick's Sporting Goods. And their profits are now down $150 million. And then on top of that, they took $5 million worth of rifles and destroyed them. And now Dick's CEO has been running a focus group in southern Wisconsin. And what he does is he shows them presentations of himself and then asks them in a three-way race, if he ran as an independent, they wanted to know how he would do running against President Trump and Biden or President Trump and Warren. How would Dick's CEO do? So he creates a focus group. Now, they have a source on Politico says, well, he enjoys running Dick's Sporting Goods. He has no plans to run for any elected office. That's why he's got a team of social engineers and social scientists conducting these focus groups, because he doesn't have any interest in running for president. That's why he puts himself out there and runs imaginary races to see how this, but he has absolutely no interest in doing that. I'll tell you what he has no interest in doing. He has no interest in running a sporting goods store. And he can't get the vote of people in a free market. He lost $150 million. How does he think he's going to win in the election? Oh, well, that's because of the control of the press, really. Quite frankly, I mean, you got some guy like this who's not interested in profits. He's running Dick's Sporting Goods. He's not interested in profits. He's interested in politics. And he's going to tell you what you can and cannot do. And he's going to take the company's money and hire lobbyists in Washington. He's going to destroy $5 million worth of rifles and $150 million worth of sales. And now he thinks he should be president. And there's probably going to be a lot of people who would push that as well, because they want gun control. And that's why you need to have a free and independent press, and why you need to be able to not only see and hear this information, but you need to also be able to speak out about it. See, I don't think that only journalists should have free speech. I don't think journalists should be licensed. I don't think that politicians are the only ones who should have free speech either. And when you had Andy Barr there in Congress talking to Zuckerberg and going back to, case and saying, well, it's just as wrong for everybody in the world to shut down the speech of one man as it would be for one man to shut down the speech of everybody else in the world. Well, that's exactly what's going on. That one man was the guy that he was asking that question to, in case you didn't notice. He is the guy who has been crowned king of the public square by DARPA and the military industrial complex, because in case you didn't notice, that's how they've been exercising that censorship. Just like when Alex Jones went to Capitol Hill right after the technocratic elite censored InfoWars, and little Marco Rubio doesn't invite him to his dog and pony show about censorship. And he was the most obvious case of censorship. Pretended he didn't know who he was and so forth. And at the same time, he's telling these people, you're going to censor who we tell you to censor, right? You're not going to do this for China. You're going to get rid of the people that we... Marco Rubio is no different from AOC. Absolutely no different. He doesn't support free speech. He doesn't support your right to know or your right to be able to speak out. Folks, if you want to keep that going, if you want to keep independent media going, there's one way that you can do that, and that's to support the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. They're not only safe and effective natural products, but we also have them deeply discounted right now, 40 to 70% off. And we have free shipping and double Patriot points for all the products on InfoWarsStore.com. We got a lot of preparedness products as well. We have the Alexa Pure Breeze air filter to keep clean air in your home. You know, you seal up your home pretty tightly in order to try to keep it warm during the winter or cool during the summer. And there's a lot a lot of air pollution internally in a house if it doesn't get out. Not only the things that you're cooking with, but also other products that are outgassing all the time. This is a great way to filter that. It doesn't just freshen the air. It cleans the air, and it does it very silently, and it's a great device. We've got one in our home. That's now 40% off. We have Survival Foods up to 50% off. And again, 40 to 70% off dozens of products, free shipping, double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. I don't want to give you an update on what's going on with James Younger. I said there was a development late yesterday afternoon. The judge has ruled that the father, Jeffrey Younger, who we have interviewed here at InfoWars, is now going to have joint conservatorship over James. Now, the jury, 11-1, said, no, we're not going to have joint conservatorship. And we want one person to be in charge, and we don't want it to be the father. Now the judge, after a lot of political pressure perhaps, Judge Kim Cooks, put a gag order on both parents, is one of the reasons why we can't get Jeffrey on. Both parents decided that the father is not required to pay attorney fees, and as part of that gag order, that means that the SaveJames.com website is now going to be shut down. This is a nightmare scenario, folks, but it is something that really should be a wake-up call to all of us. He's got twin boys, and I'm listening to this on the radio, local radio station, as I was driving home yesterday. They were just talking about it constantly, and I was just absolutely amazed at the position of the host. It's like, well, you know, it could be this or it could be that. Who talked to this young boy? It's like, come on, shut up. A kid can't make a decision like that. They're completely ignoring these conservative radio talk show hosts don't understand the concept of age of consent. I mean, you know, you're going to say, well, you know, let's talk to James and see if he wants to drink alcohol. Or would he like to drive a car or own a gun or vote or whatever? There's certain things that we don't allow 3-year-olds to decide. And I played that video for you yesterday. It was the first time the father saw that. And he goes, what's going on? Are you a girl? And he goes, yeah, mommy tells me I'm a girl. Why? Why'd she tell you that? Because I like girls. What? You like girls, so you're a girl? So she starts dressing him as a girl, putting nail polish on him, putting a towel on his head so he can pretend he's got long hair. Isn't that kind of like a stereotype, you know, long hair and dresses and nail polish? Isn't the mother promoting gender stereotypes? And I hear these idiots on talk radio that say, well, maybe they should talk to the other twin boy and see what he thinks. You know, are they kind of embarrassed to be changing clothes in front of each other? Because that's kind of the age of where it's like, come on, you're talking about... You have absolutely no concept of this. This is all about the UN concept called the rights of the child. The rights of the child. I was doing videos on this a decade ago. We didn't realize that it was going to manifest in this kind of insanity. But when we come back, the father speaks out right before the gag order, and I've got a clip of what he has to say to America about this being a wake-up call. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Now, what I'm about to say is incredibly obvious, and I'm not talking down to any of the viewers or any of the listeners. I'm just stating the facts. I own a chainsaw. I've had it since I was in college. And it's a great, good old chainsaw, and I've used it probably 500 times. But a few times I've forgotten to oil it, and it seizes up really quick, and I feel like an idiot for not oiling it. Now, imagine if somebody told me to put, let's say, super glue in the oil container on it. It would seize up forever, but only an evil person would do that. Well, fluoride's like putting super glue in a chainsaw. It's going to make it seize up, and that's why they put it in the water, and they admit they're doing it to hurt you and your family. Yes, they're really evil. Iodine is like putting oil in the chainsaw to help with the gasoline lubrication. It's that simple. I know you understand this, but let's warn other people before it's too late. It's part of the iodine conspiracy. Find out more at InfoWarsStore.com and take action against the globalist.
Carbon's everywhere on this planet. It's almost like we're carbon-based life forms.
Please listen to this information because it can save your life and it can save the life of others. There couldn't be more critical information for your physical body. God's more important when it comes to your soul, but this is most important when it comes to your body. If people didn't know that you put motor oil in a car's oil container to lube the engine, they might be able to be conned and think you put salt water in it, but it would seize up the engine pretty much instantly. Well, if they put fluoride in the human body, it causes cancer, dumbs us down, and destroys fertility. If you put the good halogen in the body, high-quality iodine, it's like putting good, high-quality motor oil in the car that's supposed to run on it. It's that simple. Find out about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com and find out why the globalists hope that you do not research this information. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, research iodine deficiency. It's the key to everything. And then go and take advantage of the 60% off combo with our two different types of high-quality iodine and BioTrue Selenium at InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. With the power of the First Amendment. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. This ruling has become a hot potato for this family court judge. And it should be, because it is outrageous what is happening to Jeffrey Younger and especially to his son, James Younger. Where you have the mother, a pediatrician, and of course, oh, she's a pediatrician, so we got to pay attention to her. That was the one bit of sanity that I heard listening to people discuss this. As I said on the local radio station, the hosts were saying, well, I don't know, you know, maybe we should ask the young boy this or that to determine if he's really, you know, thinks that he's a girl or something. It's like, come on. You bought into this whole paradigm? This is a child. This is a child. This began when he was 3 years old. You seriously don't think this is coming from the mother? We have videotape of that. One person called in and said, well, I'm a registered nurse, and I work with physicians all the time, and I think that this judge is putting way too much weight on the fact that this mother is a pediatrician. I work with doctors all the time, and they are no better. As a matter of fact, many of them are even worse than the general population in terms of common sense and judgment. That's one thing, that came out of that radio program. But, the judge was, as I said, this is a very much a hot potato. Governor Abbott said he was going to look into this. The Attorney General's office was going to look into this. And so when, this is being reported by, Life Site News, they said, when a seasoned civil court journalist from the Dallas Morning News asked the court clerk for the ruling schedule, and then provided the specific case number, the court clerk would only confirm the day but refused to share the time of the ruling. We don't talk about that too much. I don't want any reporters there. I mean, any other case, yeah, that's fine, but I'm not going to give you the time of that ruling. And so what the judge did rule that there will be joint conservatorship over James, which is not what the jury had to say. And that there would be joint medical decisions made for the child. Now, just before Jeffrey Younger went in to trial, LifeSite News was able to get a quick interview with him just before he was gagged by the judge. And this is what he had to say, video clip 7.
We put up an email from Ms. Georgelis to me in which she contemplates cutting the penis off my son. 20 minutes later, they go into, deliberations, and they come back voting against me. I mean, the Texas that I grew up in, the Texas that I live in, you know, if a parent did that, we're just going to give them to the other parent. We're not going to tolerate that kind of craziness. So it just tells you, I think, really how far, our society has changed and how much less Christian we are in the way we think about things now. And I hope it's a wake-up call to the churches to awake from their dogmatic slumber and step back out onto the streets of the agora, as Paul did in Athens, and start taking on these issues head-on.
Absolutely right. Are we going to, and this is an agenda that has come on very, very rapidly, as I pointed out yesterday. This was unheard of back in 2015. It was not on the topic, it's not a topic that everybody was talking about. And of course, that first came up with the situation of Bruce Jenner and his sex change operation. But he was an adult. Now we're doing this to kids. And we're doing it in kindergarten. And if you don't understand where this is coming from, and again, Jeffrey Younger is a committed Christian. I talked to him at length after the interview. His twin sons were James and Jude. And then later, he got the revelations. What came later was a revelation that his wife was riding the beast. And I'm going to tell you what that beast is when we come back. This all goes back to the United Nations and their idea that they pushed, the rights of the child. Very instrumental in overturning any kind of legal foundation for the family.
Hello, today on All Things Considered, I'm Wilbur Snakely, here to tell you all that there's been a lot of conspiracy theories out there that fluoride in your water is hurting you. Now, sure, the Journal of American Medical Association admits that it's causing some cancer and massive brain damage and infertility, but after all, isn't there too many people? That's right. Drink the fluoride. Don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get the good halogen. I mean the bad halogen. Iodine. Don't give it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Just drink the fluoride and plunge into subservience to us. We don't want to compete with you. Just drink the fluoride. Don't learn about how deadly it is, and whatever you do, don't support Alex Jones. Remember, I'm speaking with a soft voice, so I'm a liberal. Oh, and let NAMBLA have access to your children, huh?
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As you heard that final statement from Jeffrey Younger before the judge gagged him and said, you can't speak. You know, we have judges who do that. It's not just Mark Zuckerberg who does that. And we're going to talk about the technocratic elite and how they rule us. But folks, as Jeffrey Younger was saying, it's time for you to wake up, especially the church. You need to get in the public square just like Paul did at Athens, and you need to speak out about this kind of insanity and what they're doing to children. And this is also something that is coming to us, and we got to understand the roots of this. Yes, it is a spiritual war, but it is also being filtered through certain political organizations like the United Nations. And I was sounding this alarm for quite a long time. A decade ago, I was talking about the UN Convention for the Rights of the Child and the express purpose of this. And of course, a lot of people were waking up to this saying, look, if you put this in there, they're going to use this to do all kinds of crazy stuff to our kids. We didn't exactly know that it was going to work out like this, that they were going to start getting kids in schools to transition, that they were going to gender gaslight them in kindergarten, and that they were going to give them hormone treatments and surgery and so forth that would permanently alter them at a very, very young age. But we knew it was evil, and we knew that we didn't want the UN saying that children have rights independent of their parents, because then that puts them at the mercy of these government institutions like the schools, which in many cases have with very young minors, not just minors, but very young minors, push them and transition them against the will of the parents. How did that happen? Well, it's this notion that children have rights. As Melissa Harris Perry said, we've got to get over this notion that the children belong to the kids. Where's that coming from? This is something that is being supported by the United Nations for years, for decades. It takes a village to raise a child, says Hillary Clinton. And you parents don't own your kids. The village does, and the village will tell them what to do. And you can see how this works out in many cases. So I want to show you, again, I've showed this before on this program. I don't think I can show this enough because most people don't realize this is a convention that has been adopted by every single nation except the United States. It's kind of hard to get these treaties adopted because you have to have a large majority of the people in the Senate. But every other country has adopted this. We have not. And yet, our court systems have. Our schools act as if it is the law of the land. Because we have Supreme Court justices who say, well, we don't really care what the Constitution says. We're looking at international law. We're looking at foreign customs and foreign cultures and so forth. And we will then read that in and we will, you know, create law at the Supreme Court based on foreign law, foreign cultures. Video clip number 10 about the UN children's rights.
No government, no matter how well-intentioned, can replace the nurturing love of a parent. Yet in the United States, judicial activism and a pending UN treaty are poised to tear apart this most fundamental bond of society. These foreign and domestic threats would undermine the parental role and overrule parental wishes. All parents would have the legal status of an abusive parent, with the state and not the parents deciding what is in the best interest of the child. The relentless encroachment of judges and UN treaties that assume that government, not parents, has the best interests of the child at heart, will be stopped by nothing short of a constitutional amendment explicitly stating the rights of parents. Decisions affecting the child should be made by those who know and love that child, not by a distant bureaucracy. You can help protect children by helping those who care the most for them and those who care the best for them, the family. Find out what you can do at parentalrights.org.
And that amendment was a very, very simple amendment. It was like one sentence. We stopped the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child from being adopted here. Formally. But it is being adopted in a de facto manner. And the case of James Younger is a prime example of that. And there's other examples, as I said, you know, where schools transition kids, permanently altering them at a very, very, very young age, even before puberty, against the parents' wishes, because the government knows best, the judges know best. And you're not going to stop that unless we amend the Constitution. But even better, to use the Ninth and Tenth Amendment to say that we're going to not be dictated to by people at the UN, or in Washington, or in the Supreme Court. They're not going to dictate to us the meaning of and the definition of life. They're not going to dictate to us the definition of marriage. And they're not going to be allowed to destroy the family either. You know, when I look at this article coming from the New American, Alex Newman, he's a frequent guest on here. UN to America, we're the boss. And as Alex writes, the UN has continued to escalate its attacks on America, whether it's immigration policy or border security. I mean, they're the ones who are driving this population replacement everywhere. They even called it that. They even said, you know, 20 plus years ago, look at your demographics. You know, you're getting older. You're going to have to bring in people from the third world in order to support your social welfare state. Well, how's that working out? Abortion, health care, all of our God-given rights, they said, well, no, we're going to turn them into privileges. They've pushed the gun control registration, universal registration. They tried to push that with the UN Arms Trade Treaty. Oh, we got to control the flow of arms across the border. That means we got to register each and every gun and each and every gun owner. And of course, you've got on the environmental issue, you've got the UN's IPCC. And then they put together things like the Paris Climate Accord. It manifests itself with the Green New Deal. But then, of course, the rights of the child to destroy the family. Alex points out in a recent pro-abortion screed, for example, a spokesman for the UN human rights apparatus said the global body was very concerned about state laws that were proliferating across the U.S. to regulate or to restrict the killing of preborn children. In August, a top UN official teamed up with CNN to describe the nuclear family as a fantasy and said that the government must actively subvert it. And that's the way they're going to do it with the human rights as human rights, as children's rights. You know, when they talk about human rights, these human rights conditions, as I said yesterday, some humans, the LGBT humans, have are created more equal than you are, right? Just like Animal Farm, George Orwell's Animal Farm. And they always talk about human rights when they take away your rights. Just like they talk about the Patriot Act, right? It's the most unpatriotic thing we've ever had. And so when they talk about human rights, you better understand they're coming after your human rights. They're not going to protect your human rights. It goes on to say traditional American understanding of God-given rights protected by government will be replaced by the UN's vision of human rights that includes slaughtering unborn children, being cared for and controlled by government as if you were cattle. And that is the summary of the entire Democrat platform. Everything provided for you for free, and we will tell you how you can live your life. You will come to us like cattle or like children on an allowance. You won't have the freedom to think, to speak, or to act autonomously. They said in May of this year, after Alabama passed its law to challenge the Supreme Court's usurpation that we call Roe v. Wade. It's not the law of the land. It's a Supreme Court usurpation. After that happened, the UN was very upset. A UN official publicly urged the U.S. government to intervene to ensure that babies could continue to be aborted with impunity across all 50 states. They also get involved in terms of the war on drugs, and it was actually similar to what happened when you had some of the states say, well, we're going to allow medical marijuana. They immediately jumped in and said, you can't do that. And that was when I first realized that the entire war on drugs was a creation of the United Nations. 1961, before Nixon did it in 71. And its real purpose was to shut down our Constitution and the rule of law, to corrupt our police, to destroy our justice system, and to imprison our population. That's what their war on drugs is all about. It's not about keeping people off drugs. That's increased.
Here are the facts. Iodine raises IQ and across the board makes you more healthy in thousands of top studies, including the American Medical Journal. Every type of fluoride lowers IQ, massively increases cancer, and destroys fertility. That's the facts. Learn about the iodine conspiracy. And then once you've learned about it, protect yourself and your family. The reason I'm so hot on this is the globalists put the fluoride in the water while making sure we don't get the iodine. In China, they put the iodine in the water and ban the fluoride because they've already got their people under their control. The globalists are targeting us here. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com, experience iodine and BioTrue Selenium that goes with it together. And then once you see the great results, warn others. This is the Achilles heel of the globalist. It's a win-win situation. The only way you lose is not taking action. Take action now.
Welcome back to NPR here today. I'm Wilbur Snakely, and I just want you to know that when you hear the intro to the show and it's the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, don't look into the 1920s and 30s documents where they said that to be free from war, we must end the family and masculinity, and that we must put chemicals in the food and water to make the men subservient and the women infertile. A real terrorist, Alex Jones, has been on air with that gravelly, evil male voice telling you to look into how iodine's good for your body and essential and how fluoride's bad. Listen, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? There's no medical journals. There's no facts. You need fluoride. Just drink extra fluoride and then you don't have to think anymore and just go to sleep when I talk to you real soft like this.
Hello here, my name is Baphomet. I work for my father, Lucifer. And he doesn't like the fact that God gave you all families and children. And so, we want to tell you something right now, Christian countries. We took control of you over 100 years ago. We've been spiking your water with fluoride to lower your fertility and to hurt you. And it's worked so well, but now because of liability and because of people warning inside the government what's happening, the Journal of American Medical Medical Association and others are admitting what we've done. And it makes me so angry. So whatever you do, just stay in that haze and drink fluoride and give it to your children. And don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and learn about the iodine conspiracy and get 60% off on X2 and X3 together with BioTrue Selenium from the mustard seed. Submit to us. InfoWarsStore.com.
Again, I'm not talking down to the InfoWars audience, but I've been banging my head against a wall for a long time on this, and I'm talking about fluoride, and I'm talking about iodine. Now, if you have a boat, a motorboat, let's say an old Glastron boat, and you want to take it on the lake, you've got to have a lake to put it in. If you're a human being, you've got to have oxygen to live. Okay, it's the same thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bad halogen is fluoride. That's why in every Western nation they put it in the water. They're going to teach us Christians to lay down and die. The Chi-Coms don't put it in the water. They'd execute you if you did that. They put iodine in the water because it's the good halogen and increases fertility and lifespan and intelligence and everything else. So again, learn about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com. We have all the documents and articles linked. And then get good iodine for yourself because the globalists are fighting to make sure you don't. Again, get iodine at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Richard Proctor, a frequent guest of ours. Glad to have him again to talk about the Constitution. Richard also talks about economics. He's got several books on economics as well as the Constitution. You can find his books at bathroomeconomics.com. And I wanted to talk to Richard first today. We're going to talk a little bit about the Electoral College as well. But I also wanted to talk about what was in the news the last couple of days. We had a couple of people who have been lawyers who have been associated with President Trump, one of his current lawyers, who is representing him in Manhattan. And, of course, the background for this is that Cyrus Vance Jr., the Manhattan district attorney, is trying to go on a fishing expedition with the president's tax returns, very, very complex tax returns. And as we all know, if the law is sufficiently complex, it's the same as having no law at all. And it is probably the most useful thing they could do to selectively pull out complicated things and misconstrue them or whatever and try to make President Trump look like a crook. You can make anybody look like a crook. Joe Bannister, who was a criminal investigator for the IRS himself, he got audited by a jealous IRS agent, and it was very vindictive, but he went through the process and he actually got money back. But when the law is very complex, then people can just kind of interpret it the way that they want. And boy, I tell you, it would be that in spades with President Trump. So his lawyers are fighting this. But it was interesting in the trial there, Richard, and I want to get your take on this as well. Thank you for joining us, by the way. Let's welcome Richard.
Good to be here, Guy. Good to be here. Absolutely.
Thank you, Richard. And of course, so in the process of this, you have the arguments being made by the two attorneys to the judge as to what the limits of the Manhattan district attorney is over the president. And basically, they said, well, you know, they can't do this. And so, well, is there any limit on that whatsoever? And yeah. President Trump's attorney said, well, they said, gave him the hypothetical. Can he shoot somebody in the street? If he does that in Manhattan, can we come after him? And President Trump's attorney said, well, he has immunity. He said you would have to impeach them, him and or whatever, and then you could come after him. He says it's not an unlimited immunity forever, but as president, there is an immunity for that. What do you think in the Constitution?
Well, it's absolutely not true. I don't understand why these attorneys pretend like they know the Constitution and they don't. I mean, it's very, very clear in the Constitution. I'll read you the sentence. Just a second here, and I will read you the sentence. It says, let me see. It says the Senate is on it. They shall not. Now it's talking about representatives, House of Representatives, that kind of thing. They shall not. And, oh, by the way, it is talking about senators and representatives. and not the president, but it would apply. They shall, in all cases, be except for treason, felony, and breach of the peace, be privileged from arrest during their attendance at the session of their respective houses, and in going to and from and returning from the same. So the bottom line is, they can't, if they're committing treason, a felony, or a breach of the peace, they can be arrested, even if they are public officials. The Constitution is very clear.
So the argument that the other side has made was that that you have impeachment there, that the process would be to first remove somebody, the president from office, because with a president, if you have, as we're seeing here in Manhattan, if you have people who are politically opposed to him, they can tie him up with litigation in all of these partisan districts and keep him from doing his job. So if it's and of course, the president can be impeached just for misdemeanors. Like I said yesterday, they could impeach him for jaywalking and then haul him before the traffic court in Manhattan. Right.
Traffic court is maritime law.
Right. Well, I'm just. Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Okay.
But still, I mean, they could do it for misdemeanor. Right. Yeah,
but, you can do these things, but not. You can just a minute. Arrest the president and take him and put him in jail for a misdemeanor while he's serving in office?
No, remove him, impeach him for a misdemeanor.
Oh, I don't know about impeaching. That's really a small thing. No.
Well, it says high crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, if they want to get petty about it, I mean, this ultimately it goes back then to there'll be a price for them to pay when the election comes around. People say, you impeached him for jaywalking? I don't think I want you in Congress.
No, high crimes and misdemeanors is mixed up a little bit, I would say. Now, this is the Dickey's opinion more than anything else. But I believe that high crime doesn't mean a crime. If a janitor jaywalks, they're not going to arrest him. Let's use something different. Let's say that a janitor fools around with people, commits adultery, and all that kind of stuff. Nobody's going to get really angry with him. But if the president of the company does it, they'll get mad. High crimes and misdemeanors means the office, not the crime. So a high crime is committed by a person high in the company. I mean, if the pastor of a church did things that were bad, that would be a high crime. But the janitor of the building, it wouldn't be. It's not the crime, but the position of the person that's doing it. That's the position. That's the information I have discovered about that particular subject. It's the person that's doing it. His position, high crime, not the crime. So misdemeanor, high crimes and misdemeanors, things that the president does would be bad, but we're not going to arrest him. It's not a felony. It's not treason. It's not breach of the peace.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I had a different take on that yesterday. My take on that was that, if we open up this Pandora's box and every partisan jurisdiction in New York and California and all up and down the West Coast and the Northeast are going to be able to haul the president in under any kind of pretense. And that's the reason why you have the impeachment process, to remove him from office first. If it is serious enough, it would be something that would be tried in, by people who are in that position, not by every single jurisdiction throughout the country. And then at that point, if they had agreed that it was serious enough that he needed to be removed from office, then he would answer for those crimes there. But then there was another statement that was made by the former acting attorney general. And he said something that I definitely disagreed with. He said on the Laura Ingraham show, he said, the president cannot be impeached for abuse of power. Now, that clearly isn't true, is it, Richard?
No, that's not true.
That would be one of the main things that you would impeach somebody for.
Yes. It's amazing how we get all screwed up here. It's just absolutely astounding that the people cannot just settle back and read what the words say. I mean, they're talking about impeachment here in Section 2 of Article 2. It's not misdemeanors. It's not little things. It's significant problems. Treason, felony. Treason is a biggie. Treason in times of war means you're aiding and abetting the enemy. And that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We have people doing those kinds of things. Now, today we talk about treason. We throw it around. There's really no treason according to the 1828 dictionary and according to the Constitution, there's really no treason unless you're in a time of war. And since we've not declared any war anywhere for a long time, very, very difficult to say anything is treasonous.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, we have seven actual wars that are going on, at least, at the very least, and we've been in a not a legal state of war, but actual state of war for quite some time now. We're going to be right back with Richard Proctor. Stay with us.
Hello, today on All Things Considered, I'm Wilbur Snakely, here to tell you all that there's been a lot of conspiracy theories out there that fluoride in your water is hurting you. Now, sure, the Journal of American Medical Association admits that it's causing some cancer and massive brain damage and infertility, but after all, isn't there too many people? That's right. Drink the fluoride. Don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get the good halogen, I mean the bad halogen, iodine. Don't give it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Just drink the fluoride and plunge into subservience to us. We don't want to compete with you. Just drink the fluoride. Don't learn about how deadly it is, and whatever you do, don't support Alex Jones. Remember, I'm speaking with a soft voice, so I'm a liberal. Oh, and let NAMBLA have access to your children, huh?
Now, what I'm about to say is incredibly obvious, and I'm not talking down to any of the viewers or any of the listeners. I'm just stating the facts. I own a chainsaw. I've had it since I was in college, and it's a great, good old chainsaw, and I've used it probably 500 times. But a few times I've forgotten to oil it, and it seizes up really quick, and I feel like an idiot for not oiling it. Now, imagine if somebody told me to put, let's say, super glue in the oil container on it. It would seize up forever, but only an evil person would do that. Well, fluoride's like putting super glue in a chainsaw. It's going to make it seize up, and that's why they put it in the water, and they admit they're doing it to hurt you and your family. Yes, they're really evil. Iodine is like putting oil in the chainsaw to help with the gasoline and lubrication. It's that simple. I know you understand this, but let's warn other people before it's too late. It's part of the iodine conspiracy. Find out more at InfoWarsStore.com and take action against the globalist.
Carbon's everywhere on this planet. It's almost like we're carbon-based life forms.
Welcome back to NPR here today. I'm Wilbur Snakely, and I just want you to know that when you hear the intro to the show and it's the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, don't look into the 1920s and 30s documents where they said that to be free from war, we must end the family and masculinity, and that we must put chemicals in the food and water to make the men subservient and the women infertile. A real terrorist, Alex Jones, has been on air with that gravelly, evil male voice telling you to look into how iodine's good for your body and essential, and how fluoride's bad. Listen, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? There's no medical journals. There's no facts. You need fluoride. Just drink extra fluoride, and then you don't have to think anymore, and just go to sleep when I talk to you real soft like this.
InfoWars presents Alex Jones.
In August of 2019, JAMA, or the Journal of the American Medical Association, the most prestigious, came out and said, oh my gosh, just a little bit of fluoride in the water causes lowered IQs, massive infertility, and a lot of babies die in the womb, and it causes cancer. That was just one of thousands of studies admitting this. You know, it's illegal to have even one part per billion in the water in places like California unless it's part of adding fluoride. And then they have a waiver and can add thousands of deadly chemicals to your water because the liberals love you and they want to sexualize your children. So whatever you do, drink lots of fluoride and don't get the thing that counters it, iodine, at InfoWarsStore.com. Drink fluoride and die. Drink fluoride, dirty Americans, and roll over. Do not visit InfoWarsStore.com and get high-quality iodine to counter it. No, roll over and die, dirty Americans.
InfoWars.com/show. You're listening to The David Knight Show. Propaganda. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Richard Proctor. Again, you can find his books on economics and the Constitution at bathroomeconomics.com. And it's always good to have Richard on, go through the actual text of the Constitution in detail. I know he wants to talk about the Electoral College. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about treason? We had to cut to a commercial break. You were talking about how the official crime of treason is tied to an actual legal declaration of war during wartime.
Yeah, we have changed that. That was an 1828 dictionary definition. We've changed that today to be treasonous anytime we think somebody's doing something that would be contrary to the United States. But you see, we have a lot
of to national security, because national security has now become the essentially the religion of the state, right? So statement, we've got somebody like Julian Assange accused of treason. He's not even a citizen of the United States.
Isn't that interesting? Now here we go. Here we go. Misdemeanor. I thought to myself, we got to look closer at this word misdemeanor, because if we consider a high misdemeanor and it's the person that's doing the misdemeanor, then that would be more serious than a janitor doing the misdemeanor. You see that same concept of high crime, high misdemeanor. So I'm looking at an 1828 dictionary, misdemeanor. In law, an offense of a less atrocious nature than a crime. Crimes and misdemeanors are mere synonymous terms, but in common usage, the word crime is made to denote offenses of a deeper and more atrocious dye, while small faults and omissions of less consequence are comprised under the gentler name of misdemeanor. So you see, if we were really to say misdemeanor in the term that's 1828, you could be stealing pencils and be convicted of a misdemeanor. I mean, it depends on who's stealing it. So the president is stealing pencils from the people out of the White House. That's a misdemeanor, and it'd be a high misdemeanor. So, people can carry things to the nth degree that's beyond logic.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
He could be tied up, like you just suggested a few minutes ago. He could be tied up. If everybody wanted to start doing that, these guys could tie him up. Oh, but if you look at Amendment 25 on this subject of getting rid of the president or even the impeachment of the president, that opens a can of worms that just can't be closed. I mean, they allow a group of people selected by the Congress to decide whether or not to impeach him. And those people could just be bad guys, the worst there are, the four. Anyway, they could be the people who would decide whether to impeach him or not, and there would be justification according to Amendment 25. It's terrible what we've done to the Constitution.
Could just be arbitrary partisan politics, which might be what we're looking at right now.
That is exactly what we're looking at. So you don't even have to have any reason, and then you can do it, and you can invent reasons, because you can invent misdemeanors, you see. Well, go to the 1828 dictionary. You can pick a misdemeanor and literally could put a guy, impeach a guy for stealing pencils from the Blumen office.
Or maybe from the White House press corps. I'm sure the White House don't get this out there too far, because the White House press corps might start impeachment proceedings. You stole my pencil.
And it would be that simple. If we're going to look at stuff that's absolutely stupid, that is included. I mean, it's just wrong. But we're not a country that worries about right and wrong really anymore. Now we just worry about what we want. What we need. What we want. Needs and wants are different. Oh, dear me.
Well, and of course, removing the president is one thing, but putting him in office is another. And, the Electoral College is a big part of that. Democrats don't like that as well. That's another one of the things that they want to do in order to affect the levers of power.
Yeah.
Give us your opinion about the purpose and the powers of the Electoral College.
Well, here, just real quick thumb. If we had no Electoral College, and we went with what they call the national popular vote, which is a big deal today. If we went with the national popular vote, which is where they're headed right now, they're trying to head anyway. California, the counties around Los Angeles and the counties around New York would elect the president and nobody else would have any say, period.
That's right.
That's how it would work. So if that's what we really want in Nevada and Arizona and in Minnesota and all these places, if you just want to throw away your rights to elect the president, just go ahead. Go with the national popular vote. Yeah, that's right.
And we've seen that. People can see that in state after state. I mean, look at how, for example, in Virginia, which is mostly rural and Republican, and yet the politics in Virginia is really decided at the state level by the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and by Virginia Beach, which tend to be very liberal. And that's just one example of it. But I've actually seen this type of thing, Richard, play out at the county level. We had some people, as I've mentioned before on this show, the county that I lived in had been a rural county. It had farmers who had been there for hundreds of years. And you had a spillover from a neighboring county that was based around a university, the University of Chapel Hill, UNC at Chapel Hill. And those people were environmentalists, and they wanted to control land use and so forth, and they didn't want the farmers selling their stuff. And so they'd always had a selection of people at the county government that was based on geography, like we have with the Electoral College. Instead, what they did was they made it election at large. And so it was just a straight popular vote. And that meant that this dense population center that was a spillover from that university community had the say-so in who they were going to have as county commissioners. And they packed the entire county commission. And then what they did was they told the farmers, sorry, you can't do this and you can't do that with your land and you can't sell it.
Isn't it terrible? Power corrupts absolutely. And it always does. That happens in Colorado. Colorado rural people want to secede from the state of Colorado. California rural people want to secede from the state of California, north and south.
That's right, because they have no power because of these population centers that are so large. And that's what you just said. We're going to have, L.A., Chicago, and New York will be electing the president. The rest of us won't have any say.
Yep, that's right. And I don't even think you need Chicago. But,
that's true.
Wouldn't hurt. They'll just give some more grease to the whatever it'll be. You know,
and those, of course, also the places where we have the most election corruption, isn't it?
Yes, it is in every case. Never mind, I don't want to give the people, oh dear. Why do we vote for such people? I don't understand why Pelosi hasn't been ridden out of the rail by her people. I don't understand that. Oh, but we. When we get involved in, if we would just stay with the Constitution, it's so clear and so easy. Let's look at what's the Constitution, the Electoral College guys supposed to actually do? You know, we think they're supposed to meet and elect the president based upon what the people in the state have said. That's not true at all. Absolutely never was true. It's not true. The Electoral College guys are elected by the people, okay, to gather in a room in the state they live in, gather in a place in the state they live in. And there, each of them, without any encouragement from anybody else, selects two people, one in your state and one out of your state. Now, that's what the book says. It doesn't really say one has to be within your state, but it does say one has to be outside the state. So they could both be outside the state, but they can't both be inside the state. Anyway, so here we have a situation where these people, they sit down and they say, well, now I think Jim from Illinois and Jerry from Virginia are really good statesmen. They are really good people. We should have them for president. And so they would write Jim and Jerry down in their ballot, they call it a vote, and it isn't really a vote like we think of a vote today, although it is a vote, okay? Anyway, so they would write it down on their ballot, and they'd submit that. Every one of the people in the room would submit those to the state, and the state would count, tally them up, and put the total, and seal it up in a kind of a sealed envelope and send it to the Senate, to the Senate president in Washington. There's nothing to do with a popular vote whatsoever. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because last week on this very same day, Friday, well, it was Saturday, actually. Last week on Friday and Saturday, a gentleman spoke at a political event that I was at. And at that event, he was talking about national vote, national popular vote, and the Electoral College. And he did a good job, and he is doing a good job all over the country. I went up and I talked to him afterwards, and I just asked this simple question: how come you're not following the Constitution?
That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? We got a hard break. We'll be right back with Richard Proctor.
I will carry on.
And we'll talk about how different the Constitution is from what we have today. Stay with us.
Hello here. My name is Bethlehem. I work for my father, Lucifer. And he doesn't like the fact that God gave you all families and children and so... We want to tell you something right now, Christian countries. We took control of you over 100 years ago. We've been spiking your water with fluoride to lower your fertility and to hurt you. And it's worked so well, but now because of liability and because of people warning inside the government what's happening, the Journal of American Medical Association and others are admitting what we've done. And it makes me so angry. So whatever you do, just stay in that haze and drink fluoride and give it to your children. And don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and learn about the iodine conspiracy and get 60% off on X2 and X3 together with BioTrue Selenium from the mustard seed. Submit to us. InfoWarsStore.com.
It is now an admitted fact. Fluoride added to the water has caused tens of millions of Americans to be brain damaged and to have infertility and low IQs. And it doesn't matter if the Journal of American Medical Association comes out and says it's terrible. Still, the cities put it in the water because the ruling globalists want you and your family poisoned and stupid. And they sure don't want you to know about the good allergen, iodine, that absolutely increases IQ and fertility and makes life so wonderful and opens up your consciousness, your mind, everything. Thank God. Thank God. I discovered this 8 years ago. Of course, the enemy knows all about it, and they hope you don't discover it. They hope you just roll over and die. So whatever you do, don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get 60% off right now on the Wake Up the World to the Iodine Conspiracy Combo. 60% off with X2 and X3 together with your bottle of BioTrue Selenium. Whatever you do, don't go to InfoWarsStore.com. Just give up, America. Give up, Christians. Drink your fluoride and die. Give in to Satan. Give in.
Here are the facts. Iodine raises IQ and across the board makes you more healthy in thousands of top studies, including the American Medical Journal. Every type of fluoride lowers IQ, massively increases cancer, and destroys fertility. That's the facts. Learn about the iodine conspiracy. And then once you've learned about it, protect yourself and your family. The reason I'm so hot on this is the globalists put the fluoride in the water while making sure we don't get the iodine. In China, they put the iodine in the water and ban the fluoride because they've already got their people under their control. The globalists are targeting us here. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com, experience iodine and BioTrue Selenium that goes with it together. And then once you see the great results, warn others. This is the Achilles heel of the globalist. It's a win-win situation. The only way you lose is not taking action. Take action now. Please listen to this information because it can save your life and it can save the life of others. There couldn't be more critical information for your physical body. God's more important when it comes to your soul, but this is most important when it comes to your body. If people didn't know that you put motor oil in a car's oil container to lube the engine, they might be able to be conned and think you put salt water in it, but it would seize up the engine pretty much instantly. Well, if they put fluoride in the human body, it causes cancer, dumbs us down, and destroys fertility. If you put the good halogen in the body, high-quality iodine, it's like putting good, high-quality motor oil in the car that's supposed to run on it. It's that simple. Find out about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com and find out what the globalists hope that you do not research this information. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, research iodine deficiency. It's the key to everything. And then go and take advantage of the 60% off combo with our two different types of high-quality iodine and BioTrue Selenium at InfoWarsStore.com today.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We're talking to Richard Proctor about the Constitution, about how the Electoral College is actually supposed to work. And guess what? It bears absolutely no resemblance to what we're doing today. There's no controlling legal authority here. We have all these people who, as we talked about when we talked about Article 6 of the Constitution, they take an oath to the Constitution as a condition of their office. They're supposed to be under the authority of the Constitution, but of course they don't follow it at all. And Richard, you said this, wanted to talk about this again because you saw a guy who's going around giving speeches about the Electoral College and is completely divorced from what's in the Constitution. I mean, what is this series of speeches that's being put out there, and what is the context that he's telling people about the Electoral College?
He's not talking about the details of what the Constitution says. He's just talking about the Electoral College, the 535 times by two. That's all he's talking about, is that group of people. And he says those people are electing the president, and they're not. He's really, really saying that. But what he wants to do.
Was he pushing the national popular vote? Was that what he was doing?
He was pushing against the national popular vote.
Oh, pushing against it.
Yes, he was doing a very good job. Okay, I'm not going to demean his job at all. He was doing it outstanding. It's just interesting to me that he knew nothing about the Constitution. He pulled out his copy of the Constitution and read the 12th Amendment. Well, that's fine, but the 12th Amendment doesn't say the same thing as the real document does in one very interesting place, just one. In the one place that the 12th Amendment differs from the actual Constitution is that the electors in the Constitution says two persons, one of which in the state and one of which outside the state. In this one, in the Amendment 12, the only difference now, it's the only difference, it says you vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state. So the only change in the 12th Amendment from the Constitution itself is the Electoral College guys make a list of one for the vice president and one for the president, rather than just one list for the president and we choose them both from the same list. That's the only difference. But
yeah, and of course that also brings up, you know, the other issue too. I mean, just look at the fact that we have a presidential team by each party that's put out there. You know, they pick in convention who their presidential and vice presidential running mates are going to be. That wasn't the case in the early days of the Republic. You get people who are president and vice president of different parties, right?
That's right. The first two elections, first three elections. Mm-hmm. But anyway, let's just talk about who chooses the people we can vote for. You know, it isn't even the politicians. It isn't even the political parties that choose them. That's all done quietly in the background at somebody's ranch, somebody's office. It's called the Pratt House in New York City. It's called the CFR. That's the people who vet the president, and then they put out in their Foreign Affairs magazine every 2 months, they put out who is good and who is bad, and everybody must follow that. And if you see a particular candidate writing for Foreign Affairs magazine, you know that the CFR has allowed him to be president. That's why we have so much flack about Trump. He didn't ask them permission. He just said, I'm going to do it. You see? And that's the problem. They wouldn't mind at all if he'd asked them permission, and they gave him permission, and he was a part of the team. We wouldn't hear any of this garbage. But he
and, of course, we can see this going back to the election where Ross Perot was there, right? They had already agreed that they were going to have NAFTA. And so they had George H.W. Bush and they had Bill Clinton. Both of them had the permission of the establishment, and they were both going to put in NAFTA. And Ross Perot said, no, that's going to be a giant sucking sound. He didn't ask their permission to run. And, you know, we had that same situation with President Trump. You go back and take a look at when Romney ran with Obama. Both of them were going to bring in RomneyCare or Obamacare, because Mitt Romney had already done that with Ted Kennedy in Massachusetts. Yep. So that was another one. They were going to make sure that either way, you were still going to get that kind of government-centric healthcare management.
Phyllis Schlafly wrote a really good little pamphlet. It's not little. It's about 40 pages long. It's a little book called A Choice, Not an Echo. And that book described what's been going on up until the 60s, because, you know, that's when she wrote it. But up until then, she pointed out that every president had been chosen, every candidate for presidency had been chosen by the Pratt House, so that they would always get what they wanted in, no matter who we voted for.
That's right.
That's the key. I mean, in Perot's case, he, like Trump, was out ahead. I mean, he was ahead. And so he backed out of the race, family reasons, he said. And I'm sure that's right. They were going to kill his family if he didn't back out. I'm sure that's what it was.
Yeah. When he said family issues, he meant family as in the mafia.
Right. Or he meant family as in living. One of the
The family, the mafia, was threatening his actual family.
Yes. And so you see, that's what was going on. So he backed out. When he came back in again, he didn't have enough of a following for anybody. He didn't do anything but split a little bit of the vote. But it didn't matter, because he was the guy who was the foreigner. He wasn't approved by the Pratt House.
That's right. And they made him look like he was crazy, right?
Well, that was
the echo chamber that he was a lunatic, yeah.
Yeah, ridicule is the key. The ridicule is how you get rid of somebody you don't want or don't like. Ridicule them. Everybody's afraid to be ridiculed. So since you're afraid to be ridiculed, and the press can do that so well, you back out and you always do things that won't be ridiculed. We have a complete lack of any honesty in our election of president. And had we had this electoral college work like it's supposed to work, these electoral members would sit in there in the room there in Iowa or in Washington State or in Iowa. They'd sit there in their office, and then each one of them would select the two people that they think would be the best for president. That's what they're doing, and they don't have.
And who selects the electors?
Well, the people select the electors, and the state can decide how they want to do that. That's a state opportunity. But the people select the electors according to how the state does it, either through the legislatures, because the people select the legislature, or they actually have a vote for them, that kind of thing. They can do whatever they want. We haven't done it for so long, we really don't pay any attention. They're kind of appointed now. But anyway, so what we have is
Yeah, what they do now is the parties put up their president and vice president running mates, and then everybody has their election. And then based on that, whoever wins the majority of the public vote, then they go to that particular party, and that party has already submitted a slate of electors. And so you've got a whole slate of electors that are 100% Democrat or 100% Republican, and then they're the ones who go from that state.
Yeah, when the Constitution Party, for an example, and we're just following everybody else, in the Constitution Party, they say, would you like to be an elector? Sure, I would. You're in. And that's how it's done.
That's how
it's done. And I've really done that way everywhere else, but just a little bit less obvious. And the purpose, though, of an elector is to actually select the people for president without vetting anybody. Just select people you think would do a good job. And those people get tallied and they go to Washington, and then the rest of that paragraph, and it's a huge paragraph, is all kinds of detail about what to do, who gets the majority, what happens if they don't, who, what happens to the next majority, what happens to this, how does the vice president turn in. It's all kinds of very complicated stuff, but it suits every need for selecting the person that the people want, that the electors selected, that are the best statesmen they could find. And there's no popularity, there's no media involvement, there's no popularity contest, there's none of this garbage, none of this billions of dollars wasted every election cycle on trying to get a popular vote. That started in 1800 when Jefferson was fighting for his job, and it was vicious. It was vicious.
One of the things that I look at this and think about how they have basically been able to push this to the side is by establishing in the mind of the public that you want everybody to have a direct vote, as opposed to the idea in the past that we would have representatives, that we would have a republic, that you would pick people of good character that you could trust to make judgments, and that they would go and make that type of judgment. Because, of course, you have to make sure you got people of good character, because once they're doing this stuff with just a few people, then if these people can be bought, then all bets are off as to what's going to happen.
And they can all be bought. They can all be bought.
That's right.
Even down to the local. I don't go clear down to the county level. They can be bought. But the state level, they're bought. Oh, yeah. So what we've got to do is we've got to get the people more involved in selecting people they know will be good into the House and Senate of the state. And you can't be really careful.
At the local level, you can make a determination as to, trying to find an honest person. And, because it's difficult enough to judge that at any level, but it's pretty much impossible to judge it once they get so far removed from you. Thanks so much. It's always interesting to talk to you. Richard Proctor, bathroomeconomics.com. And folks, make sure you take a look at what we have, the massive sale that we've got going on right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points, 40 to 70% off all of our products. And, of course, it's not only very helpful for your family's health, but it's also essential for the life of this broadcast and everything that we do here at InfoWars.com. InfoWarsStore.com, 40 to 70% off, free shipping.
InfoWars presents Alex Jones.
In August of 2019, JAMA, or the Journal of the American Medical Association, the most prestigious, came out and said, oh my gosh, just a little bit of fluoride in the water causes lowered IQs, massive infertility, and a lot of babies die in the womb, and it causes cancer. That was just one of thousands of studies admitting this. You know, it's illegal to have even one part per billion in the water in places like California unless it's part of adding fluoride. And then they have a waiver and can add thousands of deadly chemicals to your water because the liberals love you and they want to sexualize your children. So whatever you do, drink lots of fluoride and don't get the thing that counters it, iodine, at InfoWarsStore.com. Drink fluoride and die. Drink fluoride, dirty Americans, and roll over. Do not visit InfoWarsStore.com and get high-quality iodine to counter it. No, roll over and die, dirty Americans.
InfoWars.com/show.
Now, what I'm about to say is incredibly obvious, and I'm not talking down to any of the viewers or any of the listeners. I'm just stating the facts. I own a chainsaw. I've had it since I was in college. And it's a great, good old chainsaw, and I've used it probably 500 times. But a few times I've forgotten to oil it, and it seizes up really quick, and I feel like an idiot for not oiling it. Now, imagine if somebody told me to put, let's say, super glue in the oil container on it. It would seize up forever, but only an evil person would do that. Well, fluoride's like putting super glue in a chainsaw. It's going to make it seize up, and that's why they put it in the water, and they admit they're doing it to hurt you and your family. Yes, they're really evil. Iodine is like putting oil in the chainsaw to help with the gasoline and lubrication. It's that simple. I know you understand this, but let's warn other people before it's too late. It's part of the iodine conspiracy. Find out more at InfoWarsStore.com and take action against the globalist.
Carbon's everywhere on this planet. It's almost like we're carbon-based life forms.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. Engineering the high-tech takeover plan. This is the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking to Richard Proctor about power, how it is how presidents are selected with the Electoral College, and how electors are selected. How do we find people of good character? And what happens even when you got somebody of good character when they get power? Well, human nature tells us, experience tells us, history tells us that power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And along those lines, this audio that comes out of the powerful woman comments from Kellyanne Conway. I tell you, with people like this around him, how does President Trump get anything done? Very disconcerting to see this. Now, what happened was you had an assistant to Kellyanne Conway called the Washington Examiner wanting to talk to a journalist. She was upset about a story, but her assistant called and talked to the reporter who had written the story and said, I want to talk to you off record. And she said, okay. And then shortly after that, he puts on Kellyanne Conway. She says, well, I consider that to be a separate conversation. And Kellyanne didn't say that she wanted this off the record. So, you know, whether you agree with that or not, what she did when she came on, she now has the audio transcript out as well as the audio as well as a transcript. And she was very upset about the fact that as the story was about Kellyanne Conway being considered to be the chief of staff for President Trump after Mick Mulvaney and the things that happened last week, a lot of people were saying, you got to get him out. And a lot of people were pushing Kellyanne Conway. She very much would like to have that job. And she was very, very angry that the bitterness of George Conway was brought up in the context of that. And, of course, George Conway himself had been a longtime conservative. I didn't realize this until I read the article here. But the two of them were actually introduced by Ann Coulter. And then subsequently got married. And now they have kind of become the odd couple in the Trump administration, with him adamantly opposed one of the biggest trolls of President Trump. This happened after President Trump nominated him or said he was going to be put into a position. Actually, it was to have a role in the Justice Department as head of the Civil Division, but he was never formally nominated. And then he withdrew himself from consideration. And the 2 days after he did that, he started criticizing President Trump on Twitter. hurt feelings, evidently. And now Kellyanne Conway has some hurt feelings. And what she had to say, talking about the fact, how dare you bring my husband up? Let me tell you something from a powerful woman. Don't pull that crap where you're trying to undercut another woman based on who she's married to. He gets the power through me. If you haven't noticed, not the other way around. I have power. I have power. I mean, this is, talk about a power trip. This is very, very concerning, folks. And it's another reminder that women are not more inherently capable of having political power. In many respects, they've got a chip on their shoulder, as you can see in the detailed comments from Kellyanne Conway. They got a chip on their shoulder about being a woman and how they have to exercise this power. She says, do you think you could have written in there that I was the first, the only woman, the first woman to run a successful presidential campaign? They got that woman chip on her shoulder. I mean, you just say, hey, I ran a successful campaign. She's the one who's making a big deal out of being a woman, right? To this other woman and then insulting her. It's like, oh, well, you've got, she said, I asked her if she wanted to speak to an editor. It's like, oh, well, you have to rely on other men in your life. There we are, right there in the Trump administration. Kellyanne Conway, a woman of power, arguing why some women should not be given power because they're so obsessed with intersectionality and feminism and their identity politics instead of just getting the job done. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hello, today on All Things Considered, I'm Wilbur Snakily, here to tell you all that there's been a lot of conspiracy theories out there that fluoride in your water is hurting you. Now, sure, the Journal of American Medical Association admits that it's causing some cancer and massive brain damage and infertility, but after all, isn't there too many people? That's right. Drink the fluoride. Don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get the good halogen. I mean the bad halogen. Iodine. Don't give it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Just drink the fluoride and plunge into subservience to us. We don't want to compete with you. Just drink the fluoride. Don't learn about how deadly it is, and whatever you do, don't support Alex Jones. Remember, I'm speaking with a soft voice, so I'm a liberal. Oh, and let NAMBLA have access to your children, huh?
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As just talking about the power rant of Kellyanne Conway. Let me tell you something from a powerful woman, she said to another woman, insulting her, saying, you have to rely on men in your life for power. Let me tell you something. I don't get my power from my husband. It's the other way around. He gets his power from me. I'm a powerful woman. And if you're going to cover my personal life, then we're welcome to do the same thing around here. It has nothing to do with my job, which it doesn't. And but we you can expect us to cover everybody's personal life, and we're going to start covering yours. Oh yeah, well, that's great. See, that's what happens to people who get power. Just a good example of how power corrupts folks, and how desirous these powerful women can be. It can actually be even more corrupting for them because they've got a chip on their shoulder. They feel like they've been shoved to the side, as Kellyanne obviously says over and over again. She says, what are you, some kind of a psychologist? And it's like, if I was that reporter, I would have said, I don't need a psychology degree to diagnose what your problems are, Kellyanne. It's absolutely amazing. But speaking of investigations, there is an investigation, perhaps, that is going to happen. Russiagate probe, and this is an investigation that should have been started a couple of years ago, but of course Jeff Sessions never did anything about it. It looks like Barr is, and so you've now had the New York Times as well as the Wall Street Journal. Everybody is reporting the fact that this is now the origins of Russiagate. How did this get started? It has now shifted to a criminal inquiry. And, of course, it was a criminal conspiracy from the very beginning. And we've been saying this for years now. And so all I can say, it's about time. John H. Durham has been given the power to subpoena documents and witnesses and to impanel a grand jury and to file criminal charges. His progress has been closely monitored by Attorney General Barr, who appointed him in May to look into FBI and CIA intelligence gathering operations surrounding the 2016 U.S. election. And as we've reported multiple times, there's ample evidence going back a very long time that this had its origins going all the way up to President Obama, that he was central in all of this, central to this conspiracy. And that, yes, it is the deep state. And by that we mean the military-industrial complex, the intelligence agencies and so forth that began this. It is a coup against, was a coup. It came apart. A coup against the election, and now they've got coup part two, which is what they're now working on with this phone call. Mark Meadows said, if true, Congressman Mark Meadows said, if true, this shows that Bill Barr is doing exactly his job. Following the facts, those who damaged America and broke the law to spread this hoax are about to face accountability. That is exactly right, and let's hope that that is what happens. But we'll have to wait and see, Washington being what it is. Before we have Robert Barnes joining us in the next segment, I had said at the beginning of the program, I did want to get into kind of the background of this technocratic elite that are now being given the tools and the weapons to rule over us. And I think we need to understand there was a great article written by John Klyzik for Activist Post, a free market, quote-unquote, free market future of brain-computer interfaces. And in it, he comes out with a techno-fascist history of neo-eugenic transhumanism. Now, there's a lot of adjectives there, but it all rolls together. Yes, these technocratic elite are at their core fascists. They really are fascists. And what we're talking about here is a kind of, it's not just open transhumanism that these people like Elon Musk and others are talking about. This is a eugenics agenda as well. And he goes back about 50 years ago to a Yale professor of physiology, Jose Delgado, who was working at Yale. And here's what he had to say back in 1969. In 1969, he said, it is already possible in 1969 to equip animals or human beings with minute instruments called stemoceivers. For radio transmission and reception of electrical messages to and from the brain in a completely unrestrained subjects. Micro-miniaturization of the instrument's electronic components permits control of all parameters of excitation for radio stimulation of three different points within the brain, and also telemetric recording of three channels of intracerebral electrical activity. In other words, what he's saying is, that with miniaturized instruments, you can, in three-dimensional space, project this into, you can project it into the brain, and you can also receive it back. And you can also record it. This is not science fiction. This was something that was done in 1969. And of course, now we've got the Brain Project that in just one round of funding got $200 million from the Obama administration. DARPA doing this. DARPA telling us, oh, we're going to implant memories, you know, to help people who are suffering from PTSD. Soldiers out there. And so we're going to be able to implant nice, happy memories, and we will be able to selectively delete other memories. Won't that be good? Yeah, just like Total Recall, right? He went on to say, it is reasonable to speculate that in the near future, the stemoceiver may provide the essential link from man to computer to man with a reciprocal feedback between neurons and instruments, which represents a new orientation for the medical control of neurophysiological functions. Enter the devices that are now being talked about by Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Do you really want these guys doing that kind of stuff to you? And do you realize that it's not just their corporate research? But do you realize the connections to DARPA? I've talked many times about how the internet itself was a brainchild of a DARPA psychologist, J.C.R. Licklider, in the 1960s. And then once it became technologically practical, they openly started using venture capital firms. The CIA even created its own venture capital firm, openly giving money to people. And then having people from the intelligence agencies sitting on the venture capital boards of these various companies as they identified people who would do what they wanted to have done, people that they could work with, people who would listen to them. Facebook has the Building 8 Research and Development Facility, where they are developing this brain-machine interface. And Facebook's Building 8 is under the direction of the former director of DARPA, Regina Dugan. Do you understand the connections are still there? You know, we had DARPA have their idea of doing the life log project where everything that you ever did in your life would be recorded. And then they shut that down the day that Facebook began. Just a coincidence, I'm sure. And it's just a coincidence, I'm sure, that DARPA's former director is now running Facebook's brain-machine interface. And maybe it's just a coincidence that this guy who was talking about his stemocever back in 1969 was working at Yale, experimenting on people, that he was deeply tied to the eugenics movements of the earlier 20th century that had been that preceded that by 30 or so years. I'm running out of time here. The bottom line is, and this is really interesting, I'll come back to this on another day. But do you realize that Elon Musk's grandfather was the research director of Canada's Technocracy Incorporated? This was a techno-fascist government, NGO, I should say, you know, like the NGOs that George Soros has and so forth. The Canadian government in 1940 outlawed it. They were worried that these technocrats that were being led by Elon Musk's grandfather were going to overthrow the government and the Constitution. Maybe that is still in the works. After he escaped conviction, he moved to South Africa. Isn't that interesting?
Hello here. My name is Bethlehem. I work for my father, Lucifer. And he doesn't like the fact that God gave you all families and children. And so we want to tell you something right now, Christian countries. We took control of you over 100 years ago. We've been spiking your water with fluoride to lower your fertility and to hurt you. And it's worked so well, but now because of liability, because of people warning inside the government what's happening, the Journal of American Medical Association and others are admitting what we've done. And it makes me so angry. So whatever you do, just stay in that haze and drink fluoride and give it to your children. And don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and learn about the iodine conspiracy and get 60% off on X2 and X3 together with BioTrue Selenium from the mustard seed. Submit to us. InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back to NPR here today. I'm Wilbur Snakely, and I just want you to know that when you hear the intro to the show and it's the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, don't look into the 1920s and 30s documents where they said that to be free from war, we must end the family and masculinity, and that we must put chemicals in the food and water to make the men subservient and the women infertile. A real terrorist, Alex Jones, has been on air with that gravelly, evil male voice telling you to look into how iodine's good for your body and essential and how fluoride's bad. Listen, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? There's no medical journals. There's no facts. You need fluoride. Just drink extra fluoride. And then you don't have to think anymore and just go to sleep when I talk to you real soft like this.
Again, I'm not talking down to the InfoWars audience, but
I've been banging my head against a wall for a long time on this, and I'm talking about fluoride, and I'm talking about iodine. Now, if you have a boat, a motorboat, let's say an old Glastron boat, and you want to take it on the lake, you've got to have a lake to put it in. If you're a human being, you've got to have oxygen to live. Okay, it's the same thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bad halogen is fluoride. That's why in every Western nation they put it in the water. They're going to teach us Christians to lay down and die. The Chi-Coms don't put it in the water. They'd execute you if you did that. They put iodine in the water because it's the good halogen and increases fertility and lifespan and intelligence and everything else. So, again, learn about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com. We have all the documents and articles linked. And then get good iodine for yourself because the globalists are fighting to make sure you don't. Again, get iodine at InfoWarsStore.com. Here are the facts. Iodine raises IQ and across the board makes you more healthy in thousands of top studies, including the American Medical Journal. Every type of fluoride lowers IQ, massively increases cancer, and destroys fertility. That's the facts. Learn about the iodine conspiracy. And then once you've learned about it, protect yourself and your family. The reason I'm so hot on this is the globalists put the fluoride in the water while making sure we don't get the iodine. In China, they put the iodine in the water and ban the fluoride because they've already got their people under their control. The globalists are targeting us here. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com, experience iodine and BioTrue Selenium that goes with it together. And then once you see the great results, warn others. This is the Achilles heel of the globalist. It's a win-win situation. The only way you lose is not taking action. Take action now.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills.
Welcome back. Joining us now in studio is Robert Barnes. You can find him on Twitter at Barnes_law. And, of course, his website is BarnesLawLLP.com. And let's talk about what is happening here with Attorney General Barr. This has now become a criminal investigation. It's being reported by Wall Street Journal, New York Times. Everybody is reporting this, essentially, that now it is this is something that began back in May. With John Durham. Barr wanted him to look into this, and now it looks like he's said, yeah, something here. Surprise, surprise. And now you can subpoena people, and let's make this a criminal investigation.
Right. It's a long overdue part of the process to finally treat what has been to treat criminal conduct in a criminal investigatory manner using the powers of the criminal judicial process system to do so. Mm-hmm. And so what's extraordinary is, I think if there's a reasonable interpretation that impeachment in part was designed to try to preempt this investigation and to try to preclude its natural consequences. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really taking place. And so it's great that they're actually taking action, and it needs to result in indictments, because otherwise these kind of coup attempts by deep state, this is really a deep state investigation. This is really a deep state inquiry. This is a potential deep state indictment. Because the goal, and I think what Barr recognized, it's not so much that Barr has a history of being anti-deep state. I think he sees this particular deep state apparatus as uniquely threatening democracy in America because of their incompetence, not just their intransigence and the rest. I think he looked at him and was like, these people don't even know how to protect their own institutional.
They're not just criminals, they're bad criminals. Exactly. We need to get some better criminals, a better class of criminals in Washington, right?
Well, that's all what I've always said. I said, I don't mind criminals and I don't mind dumb people, but you combine the two and that's a very dangerous combination.
Yeah, well, these guys are very dangerous. And it's very dangerous what they've been able to do. And when I look at this, one of the things that I don't think is going to change is this whole thing at the center of this, which is the FISA court.
and which has basically become just the opposite of what it was intended to do. You know, you had the investigations, the church committee hearings and the Pike committee hearings, and they were concerned because, you know, for over a decade, the CIA and the newly created NSA had been spying on Americans. And it's like, you're not supposed to do that. We'll let you spy on foreigners, but we're going to set this up and we're going to have to make this court secret because you're going to have to come here to get a permit. And now, as Rand Paul points out, they're spying on Mr. and Mrs. Verizon.
Yes.
Okay. Not just the president.
Exactly. I mean, this all originated with Frank Church being illicitly spied on by the NSA in the late 1960s. And so as soon as the opportunity presented itself, Church formed what was then the Special Select Committee on Intelligence, was supposed to monitor the intelligence community, not be the intelligence community's tool to monitor everybody else.
That's right.
Which is what the Permanent Committee on Intelligence has become. Mm-hmm. Anybody who gets appointed to that committee is the biggest deep state hack that exists. I dealt with that committee representing a variety of people as part of the Russia hoax investigation that thankfully is now under criminal investigation for what took place there. But during that time period, the Republicans formally ran the committee. Burr supposedly ran the committee. He was the chairman of the committee.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the Republican lawyer handling all the investigative matters had like 2 years experience. I mean, had no background in law. It was clear the Democratic lawyer, the longtime Obama NSA lawyer, was the one who was actually running the committee. So it was like, how is the Democrats who are in the minority position running the Senate Intelligence Committee? It's because the deep state was running the Intelligence Committee.
Right.
And the Intel community was running the Intel Committee. And they made the mistake. I got the lawyer to overstep, because what's amazing about all these Democratic lawyers is they have no real world experience beyond government experience. And so they're not sophisticated litigators or the rest. And they were going after my client, and they wanted my client to talk about a whole bunch of Trump-related stuff, but also whether he knew anybody that was Russian. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Do you mean like 3 degrees of Russian, 6 degrees of Russian? Do you mean anyone that has Russian ancestry? Are we supposed to do a DNA test? Go to like ancestry.com and do a DNA test on all of his friends and anyone he's ever known or he met? He may have dated a few Russian models. I mean, that was his closest connection to Russia. And I got them to say yes. And I said, well, I really need that in writing. Would you mind giving that to me in writing? Cause I'd already been talking to media people and they're like, no way that Senate committee is really actually demanding that. I'm like, yes, they are. I'm like, well, I'll get it writing. And unfortunately, she was dumb enough to say that to me in writing. And then you'd say, well, and so I got the Wall Street Journal to run a piece and got Michael Tracy to run a piece, a bunch of people to expose it. And they all of a sudden decided they had no more interest in my client because of the PR they got, PR hit they took, which showed you how political the whole process was. And it's frightening and terrifying the degree to which they are politically manipulated by the intelligence community to serve the interest of the intelligence community against the interest of the American people. And you're right, the FISA court came out of those church-related reforms, because previously to that, they weren't getting any judicial approval. Mm-hmm. They were saying, you know, well, technically, if there's any foreign involvement or foreign agent investigation, we can just go forward with wiretaps without getting judicial approval and authorization in violation of the Fourth Amendment. And so the idea was, let's create a special court that's going to govern them, monitor them, regulate them, control them, and of course we've seen what's happened. That's they've basically been a rubber stamp. Mm-hmm. They've made a joke out of the judiciary. Made a joke out of the judicial branch. Just as the intel community has used the intelligence committee to make a joke out of the legislative branch, they've done the same with the FISA court. But the most egregious and extreme example of it was what happened to Carter Page. I've talked to Carter Page on multiple occasions. Met him in London some time ago. Lord knows how many people were eavesdropping on that conversation. But the whole scale and scope of it, here's a guy that's a very straightforward guy. You meet him, and as Scott Adams said right away, he's like, there's no way Carter Page is guilty of anything because the guy smiles too easily and broadly. He's like, nobody who smiles like that is guilty of a crime. It's not possible. And Scott Adams freakishly looks like Carter Page. It was a great sort of imagery of the two of them. But but you meet Page and you realize this is a guy who graduated with honors at West Point. You know, he has an extraordinary, very deeply pro-American history. It was very traditional, operations out of London that he dealt with Russians, Russian banks, Russian energy companies and the rest with. It was trying to help America develop opportunities out of Russian resources, not the other way around. Anyone who meets him or knows him would know this almost right away. And they were doing every sort of crazy trap to try to get trouble, to try to get him into trouble and to use him as the means by which they do this massive spying operation on everybody. And there's no doubt they abused the FISA process. They abused all of these problems that Snowden warned about, problems that Bill Binney warned about, that the misuse and abuse of these surveillance modes and mechanisms to invade the privacy of the American people for political partisan purposes. All the things they're accusing Trump of doing, the Obama administration did do, and worse.
It's always projection of their crime.
Absolutely.
You know? And it's the same type of thing that we're seeing now with Biden. You know, he's bragging about the fact, well, you know, when I become president, I'm not going to have any kids with offices in the White House. And it's like, well, first of all, you know, your kids aren't going to have offices in the White House because you're not going to make it there. But I guess they will be sitting on the boards of foreign companies, right?
Yeah, he can't have them in there. I mean, they can't make money sitting there. They're stuck on a government salary.
We're going to be right back. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Robert Barnes. Again, you can find him barneslawllp.com. Stay with us.
Hello, today on All Things Considered, I'm Wilbur Snakily, here to tell you all that there's been a lot of conspiracy theories out there that fluoride in your water is hurting you. Now, sure, the Journal of American Medical Association admits that it's causing some cancer and massive brain damage and infertility, but after all, isn't there too many people? That's right. Drink the fluoride. Don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and get the good halogen. I mean the bad halogen. Iodine. Don't give it to yourself, your husband, your wife, your children. Just drink the fluoride and plunge into subservience to us. We don't want to compete with you. Just drink the fluoride. Don't learn about how deadly it is, and whatever you do, don't support Alex Jones. Remember, I'm speaking with a soft voice, so I'm a liberal. Oh, and let NAMBLA have access to your children, huh?
InfoWars presents Alex Jones.
In August of 2019, JAMA, or the Journal of the American Medical Association, the most prestigious, came out and said, oh my gosh, just a little bit of fluoride in the water causes lowered IQs, massive infertility, and a lot of babies die in the womb, and it causes cancer. That was just one of thousands of studies admitting this. You know, it's illegal to have even one part per billion in the water in places like California unless it's part of adding fluoride. And then they have a way and can add thousands of deadly chemicals to your water because the liberals love you and they want to sexualize your children. So whatever you do, drink lots of fluoride and don't get the thing that counters it, iodine, at InfoWarsStore.com. Drink fluoride and die. Drink fluoride, dirty Americans, and roll over. Do not visit InfoWarsStore.com and get high-quality iodine to counter it. No, roll over and die, dirty Americans.
InfoWars.com/show.
Please listen to this information because it can save your life and it can save the life of others. There couldn't be more critical information for your physical body. God's more important when it comes to your soul, but this is most important when it comes to your body. If people didn't know that you put motor oil in a car's oil container to lube the engine, they might be able to be conned and think you put salt water in it, but it would seize up the engine pretty much instantly. Well, if they put fluoride in the human body, it causes cancer, dumbs us down, and destroys fertility. If you put the good halogen in the body, high-quality iodine, it's like putting good, high-quality motor oil in the car that's supposed to run on it. It's that simple. Find out about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com and find out why the globalists hope that you do not research this information. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you do, research iodine deficiency. It's the key to everything. And then go and take advantage of the 60% off combo with our two different types of high-quality iodine and BioTrue Selenium at InfoWarsStore.com today. Now, what I'm about to say is incredibly obvious, and I'm not talking down to any of the viewers or any of the listeners. I'm just stating the facts. I own a chainsaw. I've had it since I was in college. And it's a great, good old chainsaw, and I've used it probably 500 times. But a few times I've forgotten to oil it, and it seizes up really quick, and I feel like an idiot for not oiling it. Now, imagine if somebody told me to put
let's say, super glue in the oil container on it, it would seize up forever. But only an evil person would do that. Well, fluoride's like putting super glue in a chainsaw. It's going to make it seize up. And that's why they put it in the water. And they admit they're doing it to hurt you and your family. Yes, they're really evil. Iodine is like putting oil in the chainsaw to help with the gasoline and lubrication. It's that simple. I know you understand this, but let's warn other people before it's too late. It's part of the iodine conspiracy. Find out more at InfoWarsStore.com and take action against the globalist.
Carbon's everywhere on this planet. It's almost like we're carbon-based life forms.
You're listening to The David Knight Show. The mainstream propaganda. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Some electricity, shockwave, central power on the motherboard, yes. Push up.
All right, welcome back. We're talking to Robert Barnes. You find him on Twitter at Barnes_law. On the web at BarnesLawLLP.com. And Robert, we were talking about the fact that now it's been released that Attorney General Barr is going to unleash... what's his name? Durham, isn't it? Yeah, Durham. He's going to release him to essentially run a criminal investigation, can subpoena and so forth. But let's talk about some of the other people that have been damaged by this hoax that was put out there. You were talking about Carter Page. Let's talk about Roger Stone because his trial is coming up. Let's talk a little bit about Michael Flynn. Maybe we even talk about the... get your opinion about legally what is going to happen to Julian Assange. But let's start out with Roger Stone.
So, I mean, yeah, the extraordinary aspects of the Stone case sort of parallel all this. I think the ultimate outcome of Stone's case will be that the president will use what is the criminal investigation that Durham is doing and that Barr has authorized to ultimately pardon Stone. Stone, this is sort of classic forbidden fruit. The fruit from the poisonous tree in the Fourth Amendment context. They say you can't use that fruit because the tree is poison that the fruit comes from when there was illicit mechanisms of investigation that were done in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that was entirely the case with everything that Mueller was doing was a product of illicit inquiry and investigative mechanisms and methods, including illicit searches with unjustified and unauthorized FISA warrants in the sense of probable cause.
So the FISA stuff that began all this, the echo chamber and the false statements and the fictional narratives and everything, that began all of this. And since that is a hoax, you know, that everything that came after that just thrown out.
Precisely. Right? And so what should happen is the president should pardon Stone as the remedy in that context. And I think he's waiting for the right time to do so, probably hoping that the
Does he have to wait for a conviction or something before he can pardon? Or?
As Richard Nixon made clear, you do not need that.
Okay.
I've had different people say that, to say there's nothing to pardon until there's a conviction.
Mm-hmm.
But Richard Nixon proved otherwise, because he was pardoned before he'd ever been indicted of anything. Though he was considered maybe the unindicted co-conspirator in certain Watergate-related charges. The legal premise of the pardon power is broad and wholesale. And you can effectively do it as a form of immunity is what it functions as. Mm-hmm. But it just says you're pardoned hereby forever on anything that could relate to anything at any time, mm-hmm. which is what happened with Nixon. I mean, people forget he wasn't just pardoned for things that happened in office. He was pardoned, period.
Mm-hmm.
So then
why is President Trump not doing this to save, save Roger Stone or Michael Flynn, all of the expense and the grief of twisting in the wind?
He wants as strong, I assume, as factual and legal basis as possible when he does it. Mm-hmm. I think his hope was maybe these cases result in acquittals, maybe these cases result in dismissals, and it moots the necessity of him doing so. I don't think particularly in D.C., the probability of getting a fair jury in D.C., to my knowledge, is next to nil. The mere fact that they're prosecuting the case there is deeply problematic given how contaminated that jury pool is.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same jury pool that's been issuing jury nullification verdicts in Antifa cases over the last 2 years.
Mm.
So given that environment, you have an environment worse than the South in the 1960s at the peak of the civil rights protest. So the idea you're getting the equivalent of Klansmen on that jury. So the idea that Klansmen will sit there and be honest and independent in evaluating an African-American defendant's guilt or innocence, That's what you have in D.C. right now as it relates to Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Or anybody associated or affiliated or connected to Trump. Hopefully what will happen is that the president will use what took the criminal investigative results and findings by Barr and Durham to make sure those people that were the inappropriate target and product of those illicit investigative mechanisms and methods and pardon them. The same with General Flynn. Now, with General Flynn, Sidney Powell, who I know yesterday filed a document that was unredacted and released by the court to the world, and it documented in detail the conspiracy against General Flynn. It shows that there was misleading references made by the special counsel office, Mueller's office, and the lawyers that are currently on the case concerning discovery and other items over time period. It showed that Strozek and Page were involved in Andrew McCabe were involved in a conspiracy to entrap Flynn, to deliberately mislead Flynn, to deliberately mislead the Trump administration. And this goes deeper.
Yeah, and of course he didn't have any idea that they were trying to ask him, that this was an interrogation. He thought this
exactly.
was just informal questions, and
it was a pure Politburo style, Stasi uh-huh. style trap. Uh-huh. And what people at the time, other than Mike Cernovich and a few other people, and here at InfoWars, a lot of people didn't recognize the significance of them taking out Flynn.
Oh yeah,
Flynn represented the white hat part of the national security apparatus.
Yes, he had told us, these guys are arming ISIS, and now we're seeing that. This is coming out. I mean, you got
exactly.
heard saying the FSA, they're ISIS. I talked about that yesterday.
Well, Flynn was also one of the first people that was talking about there's parts of the deep state apparatus that are in bed with the Epsteins of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going into all of those kind of details, and that's why he had to be taken out. He was Trump's white hat protection to clean up the intelligence and national security apparatus institutionally. And Trump underappreciated how important Flynn was.
Yes.
And that's why they were able to take him out with the aid and assistance of people connected to Vice President Pence.
And that's the key thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yes.
Pence's role in that. When I saw what Pence did, he misled me. I mean, Pence was central to taking out Flynn. What does that tell us about Pence?
There's people connected to Pence that are on the W side of the old deep state apparatus. So, like, when it came out that the Burisma company in Ukraine connected to Hunter Biden as part of this whole corruption scandal, also people sat or connected onto the board were longtime CIA-connected parties that had W and Bush-related family ties politically. That told you a lot about that was a bipartisan deep state apparatus operating in places around the world, including particularly in Ukraine. And none of them wanted that to be exposed. So I think what the president didn't fully realize was the degree of deep state opposition, how much it had corrupted our institutional operation of government, and didn't realize how critical and essential General Flynn was to being able to counteract that. And Flynn himself thought he had more time to put people together. So, I mean, I was contacted by high-ranking White House people to give legal advice to high-ranking military personnel who had impeccable records who were being targeted by Mueller. If you had any connection within 6 degrees of separation to Flynn, what they did is they waited for Flynn to give them a list of who the White Hats were, by who he was recommending be appointed. Then they took him out. That's what Sidney Powell's documentation details that she filed in court. And then they went after everybody that Flynn had recommended, saying, these are the people that we, the corrupt actors in the deep state, need to get rid of because they're coming to purge us and because they're real white hats. And
President Trump ought to do is put Flynn back in charge. Pardon him.
Absolutely.
And put him back in charge.
Pardon him and make him national security advisor again.
That's right.
In fact, that's what he should do in the second term.
Yeah.
And let Flynn go do what he originally planned on doing, which was clean shop, clean
mm-hmm.
house.
Mm-hmm.
Instead,
what we got was like Nikki Haley, right?
Yes.
Allied with Pence.
Yes.
Nikki Haley and Theresa May pushing that ridiculous narrative about Skripal, the poisoning of Skripal in the UK. So that because it was going to be a little bit too obvious to do the Syrian gas attack 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Even though they did it 3 years in a row, they
added
that to sex it up. And
exactly.
I could not believe the lies of Nikki Haley and how outraged she was that President Trump hadn't launched an attack.
I did love that when Trump first responded to the Syrian attacks, they do the staged events. There's been more and more reports come out that the UN had the UN had information that it was not a chemical attack by the government. And there was a wide range of scientific evidence from scientists on the ground of that being the case. That keeps people like Caitlin Johnston and others keep covering that, covering that reality.
And now even more information has come out from WikiLeaks,
yes,
talking about Internal Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, the OPCW's reports, casting doubt on all of
them. Well, you look at, you had three primary targets. One was take out Flynn. He was the most important for them to take out. The second was to take out Assange. So Assange had been the outsider, the true independent media journalist, exposing deep state hijinks of a wide range of kinds.
We're going to come back. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Here are the facts. Iodine raises IQ and across the board makes you more healthy in thousands of top studies, including the American Medical Journal. Every type of fluoride lowers IQ, massively increases cancer, and destroys fertility. That's the facts. Learn about the iodine conspiracy. And then once you've learned about it, protect yourself and your family. The reason I'm so hot on this is the globalists put the fluoride in the water while making sure we don't get the iodine. In China, they put the iodine in the water and ban the fluoride because they've already got their people under their control. The globalists are targeting us here. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com, experience iodine and Biotrue selenium that goes with it together. And then once you see the great results, warn others. This is the Achilles heel of the globalist. It's a win-win situation. The only way you lose is not taking action. Take action now.
Welcome back to NPR here today. I'm Wilbur Snakely, and I just want you to know that when you hear the intro to the show and it's the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation, don't look into the 1920s and 30s documents where they said that to be free from war, we must end the family and masculinity, and that we must put chemicals in the food and water to make the men subservient and the women infertile. A real terrorist, Alex Jones, has been on air with that gravelly, evil male voice telling you to look into how iodine's good for your body and essential and how fluoride's bad. Listen, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? There's no medical journals. There's no facts. You need fluoride. Just drink extra fluoride and then you don't have to think anymore and just go to sleep when I talk to you real soft like this.
Hello here, my name is Baphomet. I work for my father, Lucifer. And he doesn't like the fact that God gave you all families and children. And so, we want to tell you something right now, Christian countries. We took control of you over 100 years ago. We've been spiking your water with fluoride to lower your fertility and to hurt you. And it's worked so well, but now because of liability and because of people warning inside the government what's happening, the Journal of American Medical Association and others are admitting what we've done. And it makes me so angry. So whatever you do, just stay in that haze and drink fluoride and give it to your children. And don't visit InfoWarsStore.com and learn about the iodine conspiracy and get 60% off on X2 and X3 together with BioTrue Selenium from the mustard seed. Submit to us. InfoWarsStore.com.
Again, I'm not talking down to the InfoWars audience, but I've been banging my head against a wall for a long time on this, and I'm talking about fluoride and I'm talking about iodine. Now, if you have a boat, a motorboat, let's say an old Glastron boat, and you want to take it on the lake, you've got to have a lake to put it in. If you're a human being, you've got to have oxygen to live. Okay, it's the same thing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the bad halogen is fluoride. That's why in every Western nation, they put it in the water. They're going to teach us Christians to lay down and die. The Chi-Coms don't put it in the water. They'd execute you if you did that. They put iodine in the water because it's the good halogen and increases fertility and lifespan and intelligence and everything else. So again, learn about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsStore.com. We have all the documents and articles linked. And then get good iodine for yourself because the globalists are fighting to make sure you don't. Again, get iodine at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We've been talking about what is in the future for the conspirators who began this Russiagate hoax and the victims of these conspirators, people like General Flynn, Roger Stone, and others, with Robert Barnes. And we're going to get back into this, and I want to extend this over to what's going on with Julian Assange besides trying to kill him in prison. We'll talk about the legal aspects of that, because we've just had WikiLeaks release some new documents from a whistleblower with the OPCW, that's the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, that are suggesting that the Chemical Weapons Agency manipulated and suppressed evidence. Very interesting when we go back to Syria. So they're still laying the truth out there. And I want to talk to the Robert Barnes about that and what the legal future of Julian Assange is, if there is anything legal about what is going on. And let's just pretend that for a moment. We'll talk about that. But before we do, real quickly, I just want to remind you about the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com right now. 40 to 70% off dozens of products, all with free shipping and double Patriot points. We've got things like Brain Force Plus. We have Turbo Force. We have Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid. Bod Ease, our all-natural anti-inflammatory. You know, there's a lot of very effective treatment from safe, natural ingredients. And you can combine these things that have long been understood to have positive effects on things like inflammation or things that can help to relax you and put you to sleep. And you combine the right ingredients, it can be very, very effective, but still safe. And now very, very economical. 40 to 70% off, free shipping, double Patriot points. We have things like our BioTrue Selenium. There's no question that you need to have selenium, proper amount of selenium in your diet. Study after study talks about the importance of selenium, but where are you going to get a good source? Well, our source, we call it BioTrue because it is non-GMO, and it is a very clean source of selenium. That's why we call it BioTrue. So we have great quality products, safe, natural, effective, deeply discounted, even things like our Super Blue toothpaste with nano silver and no fluoride. You can get 50, 60, 70% off the products. Big ticket items like the Alexa Pure Breeze, 40% off. Survival Foods, up to 50% off. And again, free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points, InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Robert, let's talk a little bit about Julian Assange and what is ahead. I mean, we had the horrific example of him in court last week, and one individual, a former ambassador for the UK, said, well, I was somewhat skeptical about reports that he was being tortured and so forth until I saw him show up in court, and he couldn't even say his name. He said, they're going to kill this guy in prison. But if they don't kill him in prison, let's talk about just briefly, you know, what this whole process of extradition, because the hearing was not delayed. You know, what's behind all of this?
I mean, really, there was a sort of a three-headed horseman that the deep state wanted to take out. One was General Flynn, who was the inside guy, the guy who could really purge the deep state of its most corrupt and corrosive actors. They, you know, went to great lengths to set him up, as disclosed in the court filed documents today, submitted by Sidney Powell, great lawyer that I know. And secondly, was to take out Roger Stone, who was the domestic internal political source of attacking deep state corruption and collusion. And third was Julian Assange, who was the outside media guy, investigative journalist, exposing deep state corruption and collusion. Probably the most significant person to do so, maybe arguably in world history.
Yeah.
And
we're still having stuff come out. Like I mentioned, we just had another report coming out from WikiLeaks about the OPCW fraud.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the, nobody does it better than he did it. And so, they've tried to take out all three. So, you know, the General Flynn, they got him removed, and then got him indicted on questionable charges. Same thing has happened on Roger Stone, who's facing a jury trial in a venue that is the most hostile, that makes a joke out of objective fair juries. It shows that our venue law that's supposed to make sure that you have a fair jury and that you should move the trial if you can't get a fair jury, that those laws are not being meaningfully enforced by our court systems today. And then third, is Julian Assange. And you're seeing that the treatment of Assange, we now know there was illegal spying on him in the Ecuadorian embassy. They were spying on him when he was in the bathroom. I mean, just extraordinary.
Invasive. And the ridiculous slander. Oh, he smeared excrement on the walls and stuff. That nonsense.
Insane stuff. Because their obsession is to portray as insane anyone who questions and attacks them. They're a crazy conspiracy theorist. And so the other personal attacks on him were an extension of that. When in fact nothing he has ever released has ever been shown to be false or inaccurate in any meaningful manner. Probably the most accurate investigative journalist in the history of investigative journalism. So the target for him, that's why they're treating him in isolation. That's why that he's not getting the medical care he should be getting. That's their goal is to sort of mentally torture him. And apparently there's now evidence of physical torturing from his condition as being described in court. The probability you get a fair court in the United Kingdom right now concerning Assange is just low. That's the political reality.
I saw a headline today. It said, forget Brexit. The most important question before the UK public is what's going to happen to Julian Assange, because if they can act like this to somebody that's that high profile,
yes,
you don't have a government that has any rule of law left whatsoever. So what good does it do to get away from the European Union?
I mean, they're treating him like they treated the defendants in the portrayed in the movie In the Name of the Father,
mm-hmm.
You know, with Daniel Day-Lewis and mm-hmm. how they were treated. And they're treating him the same way, even though he's never been a threat to the people of the United Kingdom at all. In fact, he's been a protector of their interest for a long time.
Yes.
So the legal process is to extradite him. There's a range of legal objections he can raise and has raised, and that includes that his treatment in the United States will be inhumane treatment, though it appears the UK is doing him no better right now.
Right.
And that there's some aspects of the allegations against him that raise serious questions, and the US has not yet removed the death penalty as a threat against him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can refuse to extradite him. UK has refused to extradite people under like circumstance. But I don't think
it's not even a theoretical. You've had so many people go on the news and openly call for his assassination.
Absolutely. And if Hillary Clinton is anywhere near the, you know, here's someone who joked about drone bombing him.
Mm-hmm.
So if she was near any position of power, the people connected to her, there's real threats against his life and his security.
I got to say, Robert, the thing that surprised me about this was I just looked at this and I thought, well, what is their strategy? Their strategy is maybe to kill him in prison or to injure him so severely mentally that he's, you know, what they claim that he is, insane. And so I kind of assumed that they were going to drag out this process of extradition. I was surprised that they didn't give him an extension, because I thought this is kind of a hot potato that I don't really think maybe the U.S. courts really want him back here. They'd like for the Brits to kill him.
Right. Oh, I mean, I think there's some aspects of that by certain people. I also think that certain deep state apparatus individuals believe that once he is back here, if he is back here after the 2020 election, that Trump may pardon him. And so they don't want that. They want to accelerate the time frame in which he's in U.S. custody, try to rush the trial against him in front of a Virginia federal court system that has not been good in these whistleblower cases in the past for the whistleblower. It's been good for the institutional interest of the intelligence community more often than not. And people would be shocked by how those trials operate. We are accustomed in the United States to transparency, to open court proceedings, constitutionally entitled to that. That doesn't happen in these national security trials.
Well, it doesn't happen to a trial of anybody who is a dissident or an enemy of the state. I mean, I've talked about, you know, the Bundys. I've talked about Ross Ulbricht. Anybody, if they've got
any
agenda,
enemy of the deep state,
you can just forget. They're going to hide the exculpatory evidence. They're going to rig everything about the process.
Well,
and so I can only imagine what they're going to do to Julian Assange if they get him back here.
I remember years ago, I sat down with a friend of mine who was an assistant defense lawyer in the Enron case. She was a second chair to Jeffrey Skilling. And I laid out to her, and this was very early on, and this was her first big criminal case. And I said, okay, here's what you can anticipate happening. And I just laid out, and I was like, and here's different ways you can try to react to it. And she, by the end of it, was like, man, you're so cynical. And I was like, No, this is not about racism. No, it's like, no, this is what's going to happen. I'm just describing what's going to happen. By the end of the trial, she was fully cynical. Mm-hmm. She was more, and she didn't want to have anything to do with criminal defense anymore because she was so shocked at the way things worked. I mean, biasing the jury pool, having a jury pool that shouldn't have been the jury pool in the first place, the way evidence was handled. They sat down, I think, had 100 or something meetings with Andy Fastow and managed not to keep any notes with any of them, right? Because they were coaching a story. One of those people was old Rod Rosenstein connected participant.
I tell you, it's one of the reasons why I can't wait to see Clint Eastwood's movie about Richard Jewell.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is something that really needs to be put in the public's mind. I mean, I try to do it all the time. Schaefer Cox, I guess I mentioned Ross Ulbricht. There's so many people. I can't remember all of them.
A friend of mine was actually the defense lawyer in the Ross Ulbricht case. Joshua Dreytel.
And
he was shocked by what took place.
Unbelievable. I mean, we could spend a lot more time talking about that, but we're out of time in this broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Robert Barnes, again, you can find him at BarnesLawLLP.com. Thank you, Robert.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening.